Thank you. Electronic Engineering, Brother Adam.
Enjoy 2-for-1 Friday tonight. It's finally good with Frim, all 60 ounces. Canned and draft beer, plus an all 20-ounce bottle of soda and water purchases. Coming up this week, Saturday, we have another spectacular post-game fireworks show. So make sure to stick around tomorrow for the post-game fireworks. Sunday is also a great day at the ballpark with Kids Eat Free for all kids to one another. That's sponsored by Great Clips. Baseball bingo throughout the game, sponsored by Oxio again. And post-game autographs and catch in the outfield, sponsored by Z102.9. Also, one lucky fan could win an air conditioner. If a Colonels fan hits the Dalton Plumbing and Heating sign in right field, one lucky fan will win a $3,500 air conditioner from Dalton Plumbing and Heating. Register now on the Colonels Fan Zone page at colonels.com. Coming up later this season, we've got our final Park of the Park. That's coming up August 16th, so make sure to sign up for that. Bush Light Night is August 18th. And keep in mind, the reading program participants, this Sunday is your last chance to use the first phase free ticket prize. So make plans to come this week. And please stay connected. We have many great promotions still coming up this season. Check them out at Colonels.com and subscribe to the Colonels email newsletter and follow the Colonels on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Stay connected. Thank you, and let's go Colonels!
The Thin Ritter Diamond Shop is a must-see whenever you visit Veterans Memorial Stadium. Located behind Section 113, the Thin Ritter Diamond Shop is full of your favorite Colonels t-shirts, sweatshirts, caps, and replica jerseys. Not to mention dozens of unique novelty items, all with the Colonel authentic logo. Be sure to swing through while at the ballpark and take home a new Colonel item. Thin Ritter is headquartered in Cedar Rapids. Give them a call for all your apparel and headwear needs.
The Colonels want to thank Ultralon for assisting groundskeeper Jesse Rayer, because the grass is always greener on Ultralon's side of the fence.
The cleanup banner this season is sponsored by Office Prime. Tell them you saw their ad here for 20% off your initial clean. Call Office Prime for the cleanest offices in town.
Colonels fans, get your tickets now for the Colonels Foundation 50-50 raffle, and you can go home with 50% of tonight's proceeds. That's right, the Colonels Foundation 50-50 raffle is back, and you can buy your tickets two different ways this season. Stop by the Serve Colonel Guest Services booth inside the main gate, or watch for sellers walking through the stand. Tickets are $2 each, but why not splurge and get 30 tickets for $20? You can win up to $599 by joining the Colonels Foundation 50-50 raffle. Get your tickets now.
For the 16th consecutive season, CarePro Health Services is proud to provide Horizon's Meals on Wheels recipients with a plate of hot, nutritious food for every run the Colonels played this season. The Colonels have played 510 runs, and that means CarePro Health Services has donated 510 plates of hot, nutritious food to Meals on Wheels recipients. The Colonels and Horizon's Meals on Wheels thank CarePro Health Services for making a difference in the lives of our homebound citizens through their 2023 Plating for Plates campaign.
I can't see what's going on. Excuse me, your office is Joe Wentworth. Today's forecast surely a Colonel's victory. To find out what else is in the forecast, including your drive home. Down with the case of the tonight for Florida's weather app. If it's sunny or not, you'll find an accurate forecast so you'll be prepared.
The First Alert Weather App, only from your trusted local news source, KCRG TV9.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Dan, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking a question.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Lansing Lugnuts and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. Hello and welcome into Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Today, the Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels play the fourth game of a six-game series. The Lugnuts have lost each of the last three. And yesterday, the Lugnuts were... they had to come back from a 5-1 deficit. They tied up the score at 5-5 thanks to a two-run homer from TJ Schofield Sam and a solo shot by Brennan Malone, two of the Lugnuts' three home runs in the game. But in the bottom of the eighth inning with two outs, it was a Noah Miller RBI double off Charles Hall that untied the game. Cedar Rapids added an insurance run, and though Junior Perez did double with two outs in the ninth inning, the Lugnuts fell in defeat. So today, the Lugnuts look to stop this three-game losing streak right here. It's Jose DiCochea on the bump for the Lugnuts. And on the other side for Cedar Rapids, well, the Colonels will go with the left-hander Christian McLeod. Now, McLeod so far this season, 10 appearances, 9 starts, and in 41 and one-third innings, he's allowed 5 home runs. He struck out 43, and he's walked 18, with the league batting .256 against the native of Huntsville, Alabama, drafted 2 years ago in the fifth round. Jose DiCochea was the eighth rounder in 2019 for the Oakland Athletics. This year he'd really gotten things together. The ace of the Stocktonport staff. And so he joined the Lansing Lugnuts in mid-June. Now the problem for DiCochea has been his command. And because of that, his pitch count has gone up. And his last three outings, he's gone 3 1/3 innings. 3 innings and 3 1/3 innings. Just so many deep counts and walks. And in fact, for DiCochea, they're 26 1/3 innings. He has walked 20. He has struck out 21. But the ERA is just 3.42. That's the thing. He's tough to hit. And the last time that he took the mound, the Lugnuts were victorious at the Quad Cities 7-4. He was only charged with 2 runs. Now, how does he do here today against the Cedar Rapids Colonels offense that is averaging over 5 runs per game, the best offense in the Midwest League when it comes to scoring runs? We have seen their power. Manuel Rodriguez has homered 3 times in the last 2 games. Kalai Rosario, Jarrell Ortega, and Ben Ross, who moves up to the top of the order, they can threaten any pitcher. It's DiCochea who gets the ball to oppose them. But up next on Lansing Lugnuts pregame, a player who just landed on the injured list. Daniel Susak is my guest. And we talk fantasy football, we talk about his injury, we talk about his friendship with Tyler Soderstrom, and a lot more. This is Lansing Lugnuts pregame.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Joined by Lansing Lugnuts catcher Daniel Susak, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. How are you doing? First full minor league season.
Doing well. I feel like we're at a good point. You know, we're close to the end, but still a lot of games left. So, you know, still a lot of time to work on stuff. But it's been a good year so far.
How would you assess how this year has gone?
It's been good. You know, obviously, I think we started off a little hotter than we are now. But, I mean, that's baseball at every level. You know, guys get moved up from both levels, from lower levels and from our level. So it's just about getting a whole new team at all times where I'd say at the beginning of the year we might have had more chemistry, just, you know, same guys for about 3 months straight. Personally, I feel like it's been a good year. The past, like, month, been dealing with a little small, minor, some little flare-up. So giving it a little week to rest this week, and hopefully it benefits me.
Is it a bruise?
It's like a deep bone bruise, and that little, like, nerve that's in there is rattling around. So just kind of letting it go away.
I think Tyler Soderstrom had the exact same thing for us last year.
Yeah, I bet. I mean,
being a catcher.
Yeah, those Sacramento Turlock guys. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait, how young were you when you first met him?
So I played against Tyler. He was on Backyard Sports. I was probably 9 when we always played against each other. We always knew each other. And I want to say the first time we ever played together was when we were 11 or 12. And from like 12 or 11 till 14, we played together on the same team.
When you played against each other, were you each the best player on each of your own teams?
Yeah, I'd say so. He always threw really hard whenever he pitched against us. He was a little wild, but he always had a good fastball. And then I was kind of the same way as a pitcher. I always threw hard, didn't throw many strikes. And we both could hit back then, too. Yeah.
Did he drop you a line when you got drafted by the A's?
Did he what? What was
Did
that?
He drop you a line?
No. I mean, we obviously, I mean, he texted me right after, obviously, and then we called each other. But, I mean, that last year, we talked a little bit over the phone, but not crazy amount, just because he was finishing up his year and I was getting into pro ball. But then in spring training, we were pretty much hanging out every single day all the time.
Man, that's awesome. What did you learn from him? What could he learn from you?
What did I learn from Tyler, man? I'd say a lot. I'd say the main thing is the way he just, I mean, his power is so effortless. I think some people, you know, try to force their power where he just lets his hands take over and, you know, uses his body well. I think, you know, obviously watching his BP was fun, and his approach at times was also really fun to watch. For me, oh man, I don't know, a lot of good restaurants. I always give him good recommendations, so I'd say that.
Is that something that you look into? You do your research?
Yeah, I'm always coming up with some place for us to go eat. You know, we'll switch it up on who pays, but pretty much every day spring training, me and him were hanging out. Because obviously, both catchers in the same group, so we were with each other all day.
Something that you were that's different from him, you were a switch hitter. How was your left-handed stroke?
Better than Tyler's. My left-handed stroke's pretty good. I could hit fastballs really well and changeups really well. Left-handed, I could not hit a slider. I mean, it was also mainly because I never really did it in games. But I would say the difference between me righty and lefty is righty, I could hit the ball to all fields. Lefty, I can only pull the ball.
Okay, so they had to shift against you.
Yeah. The shift would not have helped me left-handed. I would have just hit the ball right at second base every time.
At a certain age, though, you just have to hit fastballs because that's what pitchers have. Maybe they have a breaking ball, but it's not going to be good. How do you learn to hit secondary stuff?
Oh, man, I think it almost helped me being pretty good at a young age because people would always throw me curveballs. And obviously, you always hit the fastball. It's the first pitch you have to learn. But all through high school, I would get mainly off speeds, and I think it helped me because obviously the higher you go up, everybody's respected, so they start to throw everybody pretty similarly. But when I was younger, I used to get a lot of off speeds, and I think it helped me a lot.
I remember talking to Tyler last year and saying, what's your hitting philosophy? And he said, number one, don't get beat by the heat. And then everything follows from that. Where's your philosophy? How similar?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty similar. I think you always have to be ready for the fastball. I don't usually sit pitches. If I do, it's 0-0. But rarely I sit pitches. I always look for fastball, adjust off speed. I think a part of my game that got, I want to say, almost overshadowed in college was the ability to hit the ball the other way. I've always prided myself on that, and I think with two strikes, it's almost the thing I lean on a little bit, just the ability to flick the ball to right.
What age did you get tall, and did you have to adjust for that athletically?
Kindergarten. I mean, I was always pretty tall. I was always, like, pretty much the tallest kid in my class, one or two of them. And then high school, I would say I came in freshman year, like, 6'2", 170. Sophomore year was, like, 6'3", 190. junior and senior year was like 6'4", 205. Probably the same in college, and then sophomore year of college went up to about 6'4", 220. It's right around where I'm at right now.
So football, you're throwing right over the line. You don't have to worry about anybody blocking you.
Yeah, I did. I love football. I'm getting excited for it coming up, too.
Okay. We'll get back to baseball, but as a fantasy football guy, who's the person that everyone is overdrafting and who's somebody who's might be getting underdrafted?
Oh, man. Underdrafted? I wouldn't say underdrafted. I just think he should go higher than he's going. Depends on your league. In my league, I got Amon-Ra St. Brown in the late second. I could see him going as a back-end first-rounder, especially with how good the Lions are becoming. And he doesn't have Jameson Williams the first 6 weeks. Overdrafted, Molina says I just traded him away, is DeAndre Hopkins. Just because a lot of Titans receivers, when they come over from other places, don't usually pan out as well, like Julio Jones, Andre Johnson. But if he can get touchdowns, he'll be good. But I see a hard time taking away from Derrick Henry.
How are the Packers going to be this year?
It's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be tough. I like the young talent. I think it's going to take a while to groom together. I actually really like Jordan Love. I think some people are writing him off just because he's coming in after two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. It's tough to come back from. But people said the same thing about Rodgers when he's sitting behind Favre. I think Love's going to be really good, and it seems like the team loves him too, which is always a good sign.
Joined by Daniel Susak. When I was first asking people about you, the scouting report I got is you can talk to Daniel about anything. Let me ask you about baseball card collecting.
Yeah.
When did you start?
I'd say when I was really little, me and my cousin used to be really into it. My cousin Anthony that's pitching in Arizona. We would fight over cards all the time. And then I would say around high school and college / middle school, I kind of stopped. And I think as soon as I got back into pro ball, I started doing it again a little bit because I wanted to get all my teammates' cards. So I think that's the biggest thing. I'm not huge right now into collecting, you know, other players. Not as big as Muncie. But I really like getting my teammates, just, you know, guys I'm around every day, guys that I believe in.
It means something. Yeah. You know that guy. You can look him in the eye.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to college, was it a difficult decision to go to Arizona?
To go to Arizona specifically, no. There were obviously some teams that wanted me out of the draft in high school, and I think we just didn't meet in terms of where they valued myself and I valued myself, and it was a great decision. I would do it again all over, but I'd be lying if I wasn't saying there was some hesitation on that day, especially when Nick York went off the board, who was coming to Arizona. There were some guys that went off the board. But then, obviously, I saw all the guys that were staying in Arizona, and then I was like, man, that could be really fun. And we went to College World Series my freshman year. My middle brother, Matt, played for Coach Johnson at Nevada, and my oldest brother, Andrew, played for Coach Yeske at Oregon State. And then, obviously, they were both at Arizona. And it was just basically kind of looked at it as all the worlds were colliding, had a good opportunity, was draft eligible sophomore. So I think a lot of factors factored into it.
High school, you were draft eligible 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the pandemic year. Your high school year has been shut down early. How weird was that?
It sucked because we had just played Kyle Harrison and De La Salle. He didn't pitch that day, thankfully, but they were, I think, ranked number one by Max Preps in the country. And we beat them 3-1. We started off the year 3-0. Mercy ruled the other two teams, who were good programs. They were St. Mary's out of Stockton and Bellarmine out of San Jose. And so we were off to a really good start. We were an older team that had been playing together since we were all sophomores. So we were all on varsity early, and it looked really promising. And then obviously it got shut down, which sucked. But I was really excited for that year.
So then you go to Arizona. Were there any difficulties caused by the pandemic simply in getting to know your teammates?
A little bit. I think when we first, that whole summer, we had to do all of our meetings over Zoom because we couldn't be at campus yet. I don't know if this is lucky or not. I got COVID during the summer, so when I first showed up, I had the antibodies, so I didn't have to get tested three times a week like everybody else, which was kind of nice. But it was definitely tougher to meet people. There were some guys I didn't know what they looked like without a mask on until like a month in. But it was until Thanksgiving, it was tough. After Thanksgiving, it was pretty easy to get to know everybody.
How did you grow as a baseball player there?
I would say my hitting got a lot better in terms of understanding what pitchers are trying to do. Knowing my spot in the order, the way I try to describe it to people is second and third, your right-handed hitter in high school with a lefty on deck, left-handed pitcher. They're probably going to pitch around you to load the bases instead of a double play. I wouldn't have known that going into college. And then catching-wise, I think pitch calling gets a little different. You know, when you're younger, you think, oh, the big guy, never throw him inside. You don't want him to hit a home run. But then the higher you go up, you realize a lot of taller guys like the ball away so they can get their hands extended so you can get up and in on him.
Yeah.
You know, it starts to change a little bit.
Okay, I want to get back into pitch calling, but just a moment.
Yeah.
About that idea of knowing what the pitcher is trying to do. Mm-hmm. When Bo Bichette was a lug nut, I would sit down with him, and each week I'd be like, what's this team? How are they pitching you? What's their book? How do you have to combat that? Have you seen teams pitch you differently as this year has gone on?
I have. There's some teams. Who was it? I want to say it was... Oh, it's going to bug me. I want to say it was Dayton. I hit the slider really well, and they kept throwing it. And I was like, man, they're sticking to their program. Like, they're going to keep throwing it. And then there's other teams. I want to say last time we played Cedar Rapids, they started off the week throwing me heaters in, and I was hitting them, and then they went sliders away. So usually it's that combo is usually what people try to attack me with, is heaters in, sliders away. And whichever's working for them is what they usually try to do. And I personally think if I'm off, those are the two best pitches to throw, because those are always the hardest pitches to hit. But if I'm on, that's actually two of the places I like it the most. So, I mean, more of it's getting myself out, in my opinion. Yeah.
About pitch calling, because I've been checking in with Gato Ortiz every time he comes in. I say, how's Daniel doing? How's CJ doing? And he keeps telling me, better here, better here. On the catching side, there's so many different parts to being a catcher.
Yep.
How have you gotten better?
I think scouting reports has been the biggest thing to help me. Gato sat me down, Gabe Ortiz sat me down earlier in the year and was like, hey, I think we need to do more on the scouting side. I see that you're doing some, but we can do a lot more. And I started to, you know, dedicate that first day of the week mainly, sit in for about 30 to 45 minutes and just look at every single hitter. And not just what they're good at overall, but recently what they've been good at or what they've been struggling with and how to attack them, but not taking away my pitcher's strengths as well. So say they might hit sliders really bad, but our pitcher doesn't have the best slider. I don't want to throw that pitch all the time. Where a guy like Mac Lardner, say a guy hits changeups pretty good, but Mac's best pitch is his changeup. You're not going to go away from it. So I think looking at scouting reports to what the hitter's disadvantages are, but not taking away your pitcher's advantages either.
You told me the next thing for you to work on is your flexibility.
Definitely.
How is that going to help you?
I think it'll help me get in lower positions catching-wise. Hitting-wise, it's going to help me be able to use my hips to react later instead of, you know, obviously reaction time's huge in hitting. So the longer you can delay your hips from, you know, flying open to get to the ball, the better. But I think catching-wise, you know, getting more flexible, be better at blocking, be better at, you know, getting to the pitches that maybe sometimes I can't get to because now my hips will be able to take over instead of my hands. So I think, obviously, anybody can benefit from more flexibility, but being a taller guy, it'll definitely help me.
Let me finish up with a question I love to ask, and that is, we've talked a lot of baseball and sports. Away from baseball, what are you great at? What do you enjoy?
Away from all sports or just baseball?
We can stick with just baseball if you want to get other sports in.
Since it's coming up, I'll start off with fantasy football.
Yes.
Besides that, pickup basketball I'm not bad at, and then... Trivia I'm pretty good at. Any sort of trivia.
That's Daniel Susak. Down to the field we go. It's time for our national anthem.
And now join us as we honor America with our national anthem, which is being performed for us tonight by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust.
It is Friday, August the 4th, 2023. It is game number 99 in the Lansing Lugnuts 27th season in the Midwest League. So glad to have you along here with me. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. They're introducing the umpires. Stacy Dunbar on the plate. Field umpire Chad Patterson. I think there's a kid about to talk. All right. play ball declared by two kiddos right behind home plate. Let's meet the Lansing Lugnuts starting lineup. The Lugnuts will lead off with the center fielder, Junior Perez. That has been his spot. He has excelled. A single and a double yesterday for Junior. Batting second, the shortstop, Jacob Wilson. Heading third, DHing, it's Danny Batista Jr. Batting fourth, the first baseman, Brennan Malone. Heading fifth in right field, it's Colby Thomas. Batting sixth, the left fielder, Clark Elliott. Heading seventh, the second baseman, Joshuan Wright. Batting eighth, catching, C.J. Rodriguez. And rounding off the order for Lansing, it's the third baseman, T.J. Schofield Sam. Yesterday in the Lugnut 7-5 defeat, Schofield Sam homered, Brennan Malone homered, and Danny Batista Jr. homered in the very first inning. They will take on this Cedar Rapids Colonels defense. Let's start in the outfield and left Misael Urbina. In center field, Emmanuel Rodriguez, and in right field, Kalai Rosario. Around the infield at third base, it's Jarrell Ortega. Ortega earlier in the series has already played first base and second base. At short, Ben Ross. At second base, Mikey Perez. And at first, Keone Cavaco. The catcher is Andrew Cassetti. And this brings me to the man on the mound, a star out of Huntsville. It is the left-hander, Christian McLeod, getting the start. His 11th appearance, his 10th start overall for the year for Cedar Rapids. The Colonels come in at 21-12, 61-38 for the year. The Lugnuts at 13-20, 44-54 for the season. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Find me at jgoldstrasser, jgoldstress@lansinglugnuts.com. Lefty dealing to righty, 6:36 p.m. Central. Junior Perez takes a called strike right down the middle. A fastball at 91. Underway 1 minute tardy. McLeod kicks and deals. High fly center field. Rodriguez backs up, nears the track to his right. He's there for the catch. And there's a very long at number one. Perez retired. And the batter now, Jacob Wilson. These are two right-handed heavy teams. The Lugnuts feature 7 right-handed hitters, and the Cedar Rapids Colonels have 8 right-handed hitters. So all these right-handers against the lefty McLeod, who winds and throws to Wilson. Ground ball, shot up the middle, base in the left center field. Ross couldn't get there to his left. Wilson rounds first base, thinks about going for two. It's dropped in center by Rodriguez. Here it goes, diving in head first safely. Emmanuel Rodriguez might have gotten distracted as he went to pick it up. Maybe he snuck a peek at Jacob Wilson, rounding first base with some urgency. And he fumbled for the baseball. And with that, Wilson made him pay. It is ruled a single, and then the error on the center fielder, Rodriguez. It is his 6th error of the year. A Lugnut in scoring position, no score, 1 out, top of the first inning. And the first offering to Danny Batista Jr. called strike 1. Danny yesterday was 1-for-4 with a first inning home run. McLeod looks back at Wilson, kicks, offers, buried it. 1 ball, 1 strike. So now Batista Jr. has a 10-game hitting streak and a 15-game on-base streak. A look back at the runner. A 1-1 pitch. Up and inside, turned him away. 2 balls, 1 strike on the Lugnuts DH today. This is Batista Jr.'s third 10-game hitting streak of the year. And his 15-game on-base streak is the third longest for any player on this team. A fake at the runner at second base, Wilson, who gets back into the bag. Earlier this year, Daniel Susak and Caden Trenkel put together 18 game on base streaks. The pitch bounced in, blocked by Cassetti. 3 balls and a strike on Batista Jr. On deck, Brennan Malone. A leadoff flyout, a single, an error, the 3-1, a ground ball up the middle. Shortstop Ross to his left, grabs cleanly, throws to first, gets Danny. Over to third base goes Wilson. 2 outs. And now the cleanup hitter. Brandon Malone homered yesterday. He has put together a strong series here in Cedar Rapids. Just through the first three games, 5-for-11. He has two RBI doubles along with the home run. McLeod throws, nips across the inside corner. Strike one called by Stacy Dunbar. Malone in the process has raised his batting average to .246, the OPS .847. Great batting eye. And 0-1. Off the outside corner, there's the batting eye. Now the count is one ball and one strike. Wilson steps away from third base. Scoreless in the first, two outs. McLeod throws. Off speed, low. The Lugnuts are having no difficulties staying away from that Christian McLeod changeup. Just like Batista before him, Malone's spitting on it. And from nothing in one, two balls, one strike, it's a hitter's count for a very good hitter, the sixth rounder last year from Oregon. The pitch. Strike two called on the outside corner. Fastball at 92. Malone nods to himself. Shadows have surpassed the home plate circle, reaching out toward first. McLeod fires. Fouled up and away off the right side. And we'll keep it right here. The Lugnuts are wearing their retro road gray uniforms. Road grays that go back hearkening to 1996, the inaugural season. No black jerseys today. Red numerals on the back outlined in black and the gray. A payoff from McLeod. Outside, and I believe now the count is three balls and two strikes. I got fooled by the old video board. I was thinking, I think it's 2-2. Video board showed 3-2. Now it's 3-2. Malone has walked twice in this series. Fouls back this pitch to the backstop. So 11 walks through his first 20 games with Lansing. Called up earlier this year from Stockton. Wilson at third, two outs. Again a 3-2. Down and away, ball four. Could not get him to chase that changeup. McLeod wanted that call too. No sir. First walk given out by McLeod, and the Lugnuts have runners at first and third now. Two outs for Colby Thomas. Thomas in this series is 5-for-12, four singles and a home run. Another two-hit game yesterday. Pitch on its way. Up and away, ball one. Just another multi-hit game yesterday for Colby Thomas. With the Lugnuts, that now makes 9 multi-hit games out of 21 games overall. Pitch coming in. Strike called inside corner. One ball, one strike on the right-handed batting power hitter out of Mercer. Thomas's batting average for the Lugnuts through those 21 games, .344. It takes a ball down and in. Wilson started for home, but it was blocked only behind the batter. Didn't leave the batter's box area. Two balls and one strike. The Lugnuts are making Christian McLeod break a sweat. The question is, can they score? Here's the pitch to Thomas. Up and away. And the count is three balls and a strike. Malone at first, Wilson at third, scoreless in the first, the pitch, a dribbler, foul, rolling left side, in front of Wilson, picks it up with the right hand, Hunter hands it up toward the Lugnuts dugout, taken in by teammate Perez, started off this first inning with a deep fly out to center. Partly cloudy skies above, wisps of cumulus on the blue canvas. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. There's the changeup striking at Thomas and retiring the side. A hit, a walk, an error, two left to the bottom of the first inning. Lansing Lugnuts did not score, and now Cedar Rapids is coming up against Jose DiCochea when we return.
too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg Strassler.
It was a fine threat for the Lugnuts in the top of the first inning. Runners were at first and third base. Thanks to a Wilson single, a Brendan Malone earned 3-2 walk with two outs, but in the end, Colby Thomas struck out against Christian McLeod. Scoreless to the home half, Jose DiCochea to Ben Ross. On the first offering, down and away, ball one. It's Ross leading off and playing shortstop. Batting second, the center fielder Manuel Rodriguez. Then the right fielder Kalai Rosario bats third. Righty, righty, DiCochea to Ross. Down low, 91 on the fastball. At two balls and no strikes. The middle of the order, Ortega, Jarrell Ortega, the third baseman, cleans up. Then Andrew Cassetti at catcher bats fifth. Batting sixth, the DH, Noah Cardenas. Here's the 2-0. On the outside corner, strike called. The 7-8-9 hitters feature the left fielder Misael Urbina batting seventh. Batting eighth, the first baseman Keone Cavaco. And rounding off the order, batting ninth, at second base, Mikey Perez. DiCochea deals. Broke it low. Three balls and a strike. Pitch on its way. High fly ball, center field. Junior Perez backs up. He draws the bead. He waits. He reels it in. One batter, one gone. That's similar to the way that Junior Perez opened up the top of the first inning with a fly ball to this man, Manuel Rodriguez, the center fielder. Rodriguez is the only left-handed hitter in the order. No score. DiCochea to the plate. Inside, ball one. Well, how about the series for Rodriguez? Two home runs 2 days ago, followed up with another home run yesterday. Pitch on its way. Skied it in the infield. Second baseman Josh Wainwright battling the sky. Called off by Jacob Wilson. The shortstop makes the catch bareheaded. Two outs.
The right fielder number 25, Kalai Rosario.
Kalai Rosario steps in. A right-handed hitting right fielder. Scoreless in the first two outs. DiCochea looks for a perfect frame. His pitch broke it low. One ball and no strikes. Rosario is batting 270 even. 16 homers, 69 RBIs. Fifth rounder 3 years ago. The pitch. Hit out to center field. Junior Perez comes in to his left into right center for a one-hand snag. Side up, side down. Two flyouts and a pop-out. And onward to the second inning for DiCochea and the Lansing Lugnuts. Scoreless from Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium.
House was founded to create greater economic mobility and build stronger communities through social connection. Join us at thesamehouse.org to learn more. The Same House, same city, worlds apart. Let's bridge the gap.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Neither squad scored in the first. Moving to the second from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler here with you. All by my lonesome. Three more games on the road in Iowa, then back to Lansing, Michigan on August the 8th, a Tuesday. The first offering of the top of the second dealt in high. Ball one from the lefty Christian McLeod to the Lugnuts left fielder, Clark Elliott, left-handed batter. Here's the pitch. Check swing. That missed, no, called a strike belatedly by Stacy Dunbar. Clark Elliott checks in with him to say, "Did you call that a strike? Because initially you weren't saying a word." This is a 1-1 from McLeod. The breaking ball is shot on the line, foul up the left side. Oh, that's pretty hitting. One ball and two strikes on Clark. Comes into play today, riding an 11-game on-base streak. The windup, the pitch from McLeod. A breaking ball is shot on the line out to center. There's Rodriguez to make the catch. One gone. Josh won right.
Second baseman number 5, Josh won right.
Yesterday, he was right. He was 3-for-4. Line drives to all fields. First pitch, low, ball one. 0-0, top of the second, one out, nobody on. For the Lansing number 7 hitter. Batted 6th yesterday and went 3-for-4. And they dropped him down one. The pitch from McLeod. Bouncing ball, foul up the left side. That raised Wright's batting average to .258 through 26 games. That's the thing with Josh Wan. Began the season with the Lugnuts, then a lengthy stay on the injured list before going up to AA Midland. And then returning. Here's the pitch. Up high. So you might forget that Josh won right. And today playing in his 27th game, so he has played in only 5 more games than Colby Thomas. The pitch. High again. 3 balls and 1 strike. There are those Lugnuts who have played in nearly every game. McLeod throws, swing and a miss on the good breaking ball. Count is full. Danny Bautista Jr. today is playing in his 88th game of the season. Junior Perez is playing in his 85th game. Hey, Ribielanales Idol has played in 82. The payoff. Fouled up and away to the right side. Let's try it again, 3-2. And a nice grab made by a fan off the carom. I think that's what it sounded like. I can't really see too much based on the way that the walls are in this broadcast booth. There's a lot that I'm cut off from. 3-2 again. A ground ball pulled foul. Yanked down the left side into the Lugnuts pen. 3 balls and 2 strikes. It remains on the native of Panama. Their soccer team called Las Canaleras. That was a great goal scored by Panama. Payoff.
lifted high in the sky out to right center field. Rodriguez there. Rosario's there too. Rodriguez from center with the snag. Two outs. Two catches by Manuel Rodriguez. Scoreless in the top of the second. Nobody aboard for C.J. Rodriguez and the Lugnuts. You could probably hear right there as I started to say his name. I thought, oh, yeah. It's the other Rodriguez. Lansing's Rodriguez. No relation to Manuel. Lefty throws to righty. Tapper foul rolling right. C.J. is playing in his 57th game. And among active Lugnuts, that ranks fourth behind Anales, Perez, and Batista Jr. The turn, the deal, swing and a miss in the high chatter. Nothing and two. With Daniel Susak going on the injured list, you heard in the pregame interview, bruised thumb. Rodriguez and Carlos Amaya splitting the catching duties. Curveball high. How are you? One ball, two strikes. TJ Schofield, Sam is on deck. McLeod offers. High again. 2-2. On the other side for Cedar Rapids, Noah Miller getting the day off today. He has played in 91 games. Rosario playing in his 91st game. Rodriguez in his 73rd game. The pitch, down and in. Three balls and two strikes. Let's see, Misael Urbina, game number 83. Ben Ross's 80th game. They have had great continuity. A payoff. A high chopper pulled on the left side. Shortstop Ross backhands. Throws to first. Got him by half a step. Side retired. No Lugnuts base runners in the top of the second. Scoreless moving to the home half now from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
If you've kept up with the news with a Big Ten at all, I just saw a joke put out there. Breaking news. The Midwest League is expected to move ahead with formal offer letters for the Eugene Emeralds and the Everett Aqua Sox. Eugene, Oregon. Everett, Washington. Washington and Oregon heading to the Big Ten. This is Big Ten country. I was actually walking around the University of Iowa's campus earlier today in Iowa City. It's the bottom of the second inning, no score. Colonels batting against the Lugnuts right-hander Jose Di Cochea. Deals to Jorel Ortega, righty to righty. Inside corner, strike called. Ortega, Cassetti, and Cardenas here for the Colonels. Di Cochea deals. Lifted out to right field. The infielders point to it. The left fielder, Thomas, circles left. He's got it. And there's one away on another flyout against Di Cochea.
The catcher, number 31, Andrew Cassetti.
The longtime reporter here in the Cedar Rapids area covering the Colonels, Jeff Johnson,
refers to the Cedar Rapids Colonels as the Men of Corn. Learned that from Chris Klein on Schultz yesterday. No score. The pitch to Andrew Cassetti is down low. Ball one. So I was walking around earlier today around Iowa City with my former Lugnuts broadcast colleague, David Fine. David and I were the Lugnuts broadcast team in 2015. Here's the pitch to Cassetti. Popped foul, back and out of play. And by the way, I'm looking at the ground out, air out ratio for Jose DiCochea, because every single out so far of the first four batters has been in the air. And over the course of his career, usually he gets more ground outs than fly outs. Wind is blowing in. That's helping him out. The pitch to Cassetti bounces in. David Fine is now the voice of the Iowa Heartlanders. And I expect to see him out here to enjoy some Lugnuts and Colonels baseball tomorrow night. We were reminiscing about that 2015 Lugnuts team when the Lugnuts were affiliated with the Toronto Blue Jays, playing in single A. And the starting lineup was stacked with future major leaguers. DiCochea's pitch. Cassetti takes a ball off the outside corner. Two balls, one strike on Cassetti. Starting catcher for Cedar Rapids and a darn good hitter. A burly right-handed batter. Hitting 285 through 38 games. DiCochea kicks and throws. Fastball hits the outside corner and the home plate umpire Stacy Dunbar rings him up on strikes. That's strike two. That's a great strike two call. Reared back with a bow and arrow. Cassetti looked back and said, I think I get three. Two balls, two strikes, one out, nobody on, no score. A break even from DiCochea. That's down and in. Well, the video board says 2-2, but apparently that was a 3-2 pitch, and that's ball four. And down to first base goes Cassetti. I've got these balls and strikes boxes on my scorecard. I really should utilize them a little more than I do. A little outfield plays the DH, Noah Cardenas, up to home plate. One on, one out, scoreless in the second. Righty throws to righty. Strike called on the inside corner. As Cardenas waits for the pitch to come in, his feet are close together. Had he crowded the plate as close as he possibly can. Takes a big step toward the pitcher. Here it is. Check swing foul off the backstop. I think he steps into the bucket too. The bucket is when a batter, instead of stepping out toward the pitcher, steps out a little bit toward, in this case, a right-handed batter, third base. So for youngsters, in order to stop them from doing it, you would put a bucket there, according to baseball lore. And that way, if they stepped out to their left instead of straight ahead, they stepped into the bucket. That's a strike two pitch. And it's down and in. Ball one. Well, the Hall of Famer Al Simmons, the great athletic, would step into the bucket, and he would also hit for power, one of the feared hitters of his day. And so because of that, because he hit so effectively while continually stepping into the bucket, they called him Bucketfoot Al. Bucketfoot Noah Cardenas swings and chops left side. The third baseman Schofield Sam waits, grabs, fires to second one. Throw it to first by right, little bit too high, skimmed off Malone's glove. Hit off the railing in front of the dugout for the first base side for Cedar Rapids and stayed in the field of play. Simply a fielder's choice. Cassetti forced out, 5-4, two outs to bring up Misael Urbina. As I look up how many Misaels have ever played professional baseball. Quite a few. Righty to righty, fouled straight back into the screen. Scoreless in the bottom of the second inning. Misael, a biblical name apparently. A one, swing and a miss. I'm reading what it means in Hebrew, and I'm wondering, when it comes to Spanish, I said, I believe it. It simply goes biblically. Spanish variant of Mishael or Meshach. Well, there you go. We all learned something new today. And there have been a ton of Mishaels who've played professional baseball in the 21st century. Ground ball up the third base side. Fair ball. It's juggled by Schofield Sam. Goes late to second and threw it away right past Josh Wainwright. Urbina streaks for second base. The thorn by Thomas grounds in late. Over to third on the play goes Cardenas. It was a miss. And it ends up with runners at second and third. And two outs for Cedar Rapids and Keone Cavaco. Looking to break through in a scoreless game.
First baseman number 8, Keone Cavaco.
I'm curious with the official score. The initial ruling here. And it is called an infield single. The ball was mishandled back of third by TJ Schofield Sam. I think if he does grab it cleanly, that's still going to be a very long throw for him. But then he made the poor decision of throwing anyway to second, and that was not a good throw. Did coach it to Keone Cavaco. Up high with the off speed. Ball one. Schofield Sam commits his third error. Make it his fourth error as a member of the Lugnuts. Righty to righty. Here it comes. Cavaco gets under it to right center field, and this should get DiCochea out of the inning. Thomas calls, makes the catch. DiCochea was already walking off the mound. Think about Steph Curry. Put up the three. Turn your back to it. DiCochea heading to the dugout. First lap of the hands with C.J. Rodriguez. That ends the bottom of the second inning, bookended by flyouts caught by Colby Thomas. A walk, a single, an error. Two runners left in scoring position. Going to the third inning, 0-0, Lugnuts and Colonels.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the app or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Let's tell some tales from the dugout here in the top of the third inning. No score between the Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Lefty-lefty, Christian McLeod to TJ Schofield-Sam, the Lugnuts' number 9 hitter. Swings away, lines the first pitch left side. Diving catch by shortstop Ross, laying out to his right. Start on your scorecard. One pitch, one sparkling out in the third inning.
Center fielder, Junior Perez.
And now Junior Perez steps in. Top of the order time with Jacob Wilson to follow. Schofield Sam, a great game yesterday with a single and a home run. And looking to get things going today, but Ben Ross had other ideas. Super utility man. McLeod offers to Perez. Shows bunt, lays it down left side. That ball is down and rolling foul. The pitcher McLeod tried to make a diving play. Couldn't grab it. He was very lucky. If that ball hits him in fair territory, then it hops foul. And that's going to be a fair ball and a base hit for Junior. My friend Tim Haggerty, the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas, published a book called Tales from the Dugout, 1001 humorous, inspirational, and wild anecdotes from minor league baseball. And I brought this book on the road with me because I figured, I bet there are some great stories from Cedar Rapids back in the day. Well,
I'll tell you if I find anything from Cedar Rapids over the years. Because baseball in Cedar Rapids goes back an awful long time. But if I see a story in here that I just need to share with you, I'm going to share it. And I'm going to share one after this pitch at 0-1 to Junior. Fly out to center his first time. The wind, the toss, fastball high. So there was a player named Walter Missler who was playing for the Lima Pandas, Lima, Ohio, in 1939. This is the Class D Ohio State League. He was at the plate. A 1-1 pitch to Perez. Swing and a miss, strike two. Now the count on Mr. Walter Missler went to 2 balls and 2 strikes. He took the 5th pitch of the plate appearance. He decided he wanted a new bat. So as he was going back to the dugout to collect that bat, what he failed to recognize was on that 2-2 pitch, the home plate umpire had called him out on strikes. He returned with the new bat. The home plate umpire thought he was the next hitter. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss by Junior. Gone on the breaking ball in. Strikeout number 2 from McLeod. Well, wouldn't you know it, Walter Missler gets a fresh count. And he strikes out again. He struck out on the 2-2 looking. He struck out on his 2nd unearned opportunity. The umpire called 2 outs in the inning for Lima. Basically, Missler struck out for the first 2 outs of the inning. Here's the number 2 hitter. Jacob Wilson takes ball 1 outside. That's what I call wild. Weird things happen in minor league baseball. Scoreless top of the 3rd inning. 2 outs, nobody on. The pitch. Wilson laces a line drive fair up the third base side. Off the top, kicking out in front of Urbina. Wilson's going to try for 2. Urbina's throw in is strong. Wilson dodging around the tag. He's safe. Jacob Wilson right around Mikey Perez. And manager Brian Dickelman wants to debate this one. That though beat him. And Jacob realized it. And so he swam right around where Perez was waiting with the glove. Bases umpire Chad Patterson shakes his head, says, "No, sir, he was in there. I know the ball was waiting." But Jacob Wilson got to the bag before Mikey Perez could tag him. Brilliant. So Wilson is 2 for 2 today. Single in the first, left at third. Double here in the 3rd inning. Comes with 2 outs. Danny Bautista Jr. Can he score him? The pitch. Hit of the air, center field. Shallow. Long run in, and Manuel Rodriguez going to get there. It falls for a base hit. Wilson's around to score. Lansing leads 1-0 on the Bautista Jr. flare. RBI, a single for Danny Bautista Jr., dunking it down into shallow right center. It is his 33rd RBI of the year. It gives him an 11-game hitting streak and a 16-game on-base streak. And now Brennan Malone. Malone walked his first time on a 3-2 pitch from Christian McLeod. Lefty deals to righty. Pitch on its way. High. 1-0. And McLeod might be a little bit ruffled. Long lead at first base for Bautista Jr., a threat to run. The set at the waist. The pitch. Ground ball left side. Shortstop Ross grabs. Plants. Fires to first. Pulled his first baseman off the bag, but Cavaco greeted Malone with a turnstile tag. And the side is retired. Lugnut scored the game's first run, though. Jacob Wilson, not just the line drive double, but the adept slide into second base. And Danny Bautista Jr. bloops him in. 1-0 Lugnuts go to the bottom of the 3rd inning. This is Lugnuts Baseball.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Exciting baseball indeed. The Lansing Lugnuts won the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Nada. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. As we open up the bottom of the third inning, Jose DeCoutier takes on the second baseman, Mikey Perez. Right-hander fires to right-hander. Down low. No, in there. Called a strike at the knees on the outside corner. DeCoutier works out of the stretch. Kicks and offers. Up and inside. The batters here for Cedar Rapids in the home third inning. Perez followed by the top of the order. Ben Ross and Manuel Rodriguez. Here's DeCoutier's pitch. The breaking ball just missed inside. DeCoutier had to strand a couple of runners in scoring position in the bottom of the second inning. It's a 2-1 hitter's pitch here. And it's down and in. Three balls and a strike. Mikey Perez receiving his third start of this series. Fourth game out of six. Out of UCLA. Here's the pitch. Inside. DeCoutier issues a leadoff walk of the five pitch variety, and it's the second walk of the game. Looking ahead on the upcoming schedule, so the Lugnuts wrap things up tomorrow night, 7:35 p.m. Eastern, 6:35 p.m. local, followed by a 2:05 p.m. game on Sunday in the finale, 1:05 p.m. Central. And then it's time for that long drive back from Cedar Rapids to Lansing, Michigan. Ben Ross, the leadoff man. Righty-righty. First pitch. Off speed. In there. Strike called. Ross flied to center his first time. Let's look ahead. Lugnuts on the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, August the 8th through August the 13th. Tuesday, the August the 8th, is Farmer Appreciation Day on a Tacos and Tall Boys night. Pickoff throw to first base. Nearly had him. Perez got back in. $4 tacos, $4 tall boys, every Tuesday home game at Jackson Field. 7:05 p.m. between the Lugnuts and the Tin Caps to open up a 2-week homestand. Here's a 0-1 pitch to Ross. Runner moves. The pitch is grounded down toward third. Schofield Sam gloves, throws to first to get the out. Ross retired for out number one. And Perez being in motion, safely sliding into second base. Stays out of the force.
Center fielder, Daniel Rodriguez.
Brings up Emmanuel Rodriguez. Wednesday, August the 9th is a 1:05 p.m. matinee. Summer fun day. Dog days of summer. Bring your dog out. Lugnuts and Fort Wayne at 1:05 p.m. It's coming Wednesday, August the 9th. DeCoutier's pitch. Rodriguez hits a high fly to right. Did he get it? Thomas is back at the wall. Comes forward to make the catch. At second base, Perez is going to try to tag. The throw to third one hops in late. Perez slides feet first in safely. Manuel Rodriguez was making a bid for his fourth home run of the series.
The right fielder, Cole Holly Rosario.
I saw Kobe Thomas go back with his back up toward the wall. And then suddenly he came forward. Rodriguez had not quite gotten enough. Two outs with Perez at third. Lugnuts one, Colonels nada. Number three hitter in the order is Kalai Rosario. Flied out to the center fielder, Junior Perez, his first time. DiCochea with the delivery. Strike called inside corner. Thursday, August the 10th, the Coors Light Thirsty Thursday, and a Dollar Dog Day, and Lansing Facts Night, and Joey Chestnut appearance at the ballpark. Lugnuts to play as the Lansing Olive Burgers. Go to LansingLugnuts.com. Breaking ball, well blocked and picked up by the catcher, Rodriguez. That keeps Mikey Perez at third base. So the Lansing Olive Burgers will be in action. Lugnuts put out on social media what those Olive Burgers jerseys are going to look like. Designed by Terry Allipert. Here's the 1-1. Way outside, all the way to the backstop. Perez dashes in and scores. Wild pitch. Tie game 1-1. So two outs and nobody on. And a two ball, one strike pitch to Kalai Rosario on its way. Inside corner, strike two called. Lansing Facts night as well. Love the Lansing Facts folks. On a Dollar Dog Day and a Coors Light Thursday, August the 10th. Time granted at home plate to Kalai Rosario. Friday, August the 11th, it's a Defenders of the Diamond night. Superhero night. Boy Scout night with Lapu fireworks. Then Saturday, August the 12th, it's a Copa night with a Sugar Skull bobblehead giveaway. First 1,000 fans. Presented by Sparrow. The pitch inside. Count is full. Matthew fireworks after both Friday, August the 11th and Saturday, August the 12th. A week from today and a week from tomorrow. And then the homestand wraps up on Sunday, August the 13th. Another Copa Day Sugar Skull bobblehead giveaway. Capital City Market Kids Day. The pitch outside. Ball four. A walk to Kalai Rosario. I want you to consider the route around the bases for Mikey Perez to tie the game. He drew the leadoff walk from DiCochea. He moved to second on the ground out by Ross, to third on the flyout by Rodriguez, and scored on the wild pitch. And now Rosario draws the walk with two outs for Jorel Ortega. Once again, this is simply DiCochea as his own worst enemy. And a Cedar Rapids Colonels team with a great offense. Manufacturing runs. Check on the runner at first base, put Rosario back in. Rosario this year has two steals, and twice he's been caught. And the set by the right-hander. The native Arizonan deals. Line drive, base hit, left field, Ortega. Rosario around to second base, and no further. In comes the throw from Clark Elliott. The single by Ortega puts runners at first and second with two gone for Andrew Cassetti. First, though, the acting pitching coach, Rick Rodriguez, is out for a word with Jose. Just trying to slow things down. So back to that upcoming homestand. The Tuesday Farmer Appreciation Day coming up on August the 8th in 4 days. The Wednesday Summer Fun Day, 1:05 p.m. on a Dog Days of Summer. The Tuesday on a Tacos and Tall Boys. Thursday at Coors Light Thirsty Thursday, $2 drafts, $5 domestics. Dollar Dog Day, Lansing Facts Night. Lansing Facts Night is, if you're unfamiliar, what they appreciate about Lansing, I appreciate them. They keep their tongue firmly in cheek. And Joey Chestnut, the number one eater in the world, will be at Jackson Fields. Maybe we'll challenge him to eat some Olive Burgers. Lansing will be playing as the Olive Burgers. Lapu Fireworks, Friday, August the 11th, and Saturday, August 12th.
Defenders of the Diamond, followed by back-to-back Copa games. Here's the pitch to Andrew Cassetti, fouled off the hands to the right side. That's just that six-game series against Fort Wayne. Then another six-game series follows, Lugnuts and the Great Lakes Loons, August the 15th through August the 20th. Nothing and one the count on Andrew Cassetti. Here's the pitch. That's a breaking ball down and away. Smothered at home by C.J. Rodriguez. The DJ here is playing everything that the DJ can think of. Score is tied up 1-1. Two outs, last of the third, two on. The pitch. Cassetti takes a ball low. Two balls, one strike. Cassetti walked his first time. Forced out at second base on a fielder's choice hit by Noah Cardenas. Here's the pitch. That's down low. And the count is three balls and a strike. You can immediately understand where and how things are going wrong right now. Jose Dicoche is not locating. And that means trouble. Capital T rhymes with D, stands for Dicochea. 3-1. Breaking ball down and away. Curveball missing for ball four. And the bases are loaded. Cassetti walks for a second time. Third walk in the inning by Dicochea, his fourth so far through 2 2/3 innings. Only run scored by the Colonels has been on a wild pitch. Let me turn it up. So you hear that outfield your love? Back when I was in independent baseball, the fans would sing as that would play up a batter to home plate for the Southern Illinois Miners. The pitch to Noah Cardenas, skied foul to the right, and out of play for strike one. It's better when a fan base can sing a player's walk-up, when they have that kind of connection. And the player that the fans sang up to home plate for Southern Illinois was the former Lugnut Joey Metropolis. Big name for a big slugger. 0-1, righty to righty. The pitch to Cardenas, outside. What a stab by C.J. Rodriguez. One ball and one strike. Elsewhere in the Midwest League, Beloit is leading in Dayton 7-4. They're in the top of the fifth inning. Five runs in the top of the fifth for the Sky Carp at Day Air Ballpark. 1-1 here. Bases loaded. Two outs. Dicochea's pitch. Cardenas takes the slow curve high. Didn't get the call. Dicochea's frustration showed to me that he thought that should have been strike two. What a big swing. Instead of going to 1-2, it's 2-1. And the Lugnuts have some action in their bullpen up the left side. Here's the pitch. Line drive, base hit left field. Rosario scores. Ortega's on his way in. Cassetti stops at second. Elliott Stowe comes into third. Two on single, Noah Cardenas. 3-1 Cedar Rapids. It's getting worse, not better for Lansing. It's snowballing. Not in July, in August. Four straight batters have reached since there were two outs and nobody on. Misael Urbina singled his first time up. Righty to righty. 2-1, two out. First pitch. Fastball, strike called inside corner at 93 on the gun. They're in the top of the fifth inning from Parkview Field. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps have committed four more errors, and they're trailing the Great Lakes Loons 3-0. Their defense has been miserable. Curveball fouled up and away to the right side. Strike two real quick to Misael Urbina. I see the Wisconsin and South Bend are tied up 2-2 in the top of the sixth inning from South Bend's Four Winds Field. Quad Cities and Peoria scoreless going to the fifth inning from Dozier Park in Peoria, Illinois. Will it play in Peoria? You bet. West Michigan leads Lake County 2-0. They're in the top of the seventh inning from West Michigan. It's an 0-2 pitch to Urbina. Fouled off into the netting. DeCochea has not struck out a batter yet. Go back to start up this year when he was an ace with Stockton. And he opened up the year. He did not get scored upon in the entire month of April. He had three different outings of eight strikeouts apiece. DeCochea with an 0-2. Off speed, taken low, bouncing in. One ball and two strikes on Urbina, the eighth batter of this inning. Unofficially, 54 pitches for DeCochea right now. He deals. Hit in the air to right field. Colby Thomas backs up. Now comes in. The right fielder's ready to make the catch, jogging toward the infield. Lost his cap at the very last second. But there is at number three. And the third inning has come to an end. A lot of pitches. Three runs for Cedar Rapids on two hits and three walks. Let's go to the fourth inning. The Colonels now lead the Lugnuts by a 3-1 score.
What's up? This is Will I Am. I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know, if you're 45 and older, go get a colon cancer screening right now. Ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine what screening option is right for you.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
What an arduous bottom of the third inning for Jose DeCochea. But the Lugnuts right-hander and his defense are out of that frame now. And we've gone to the fourth inning, Lansing down 3-1 in Cedar Rapids. Christian McLeod back to the hill dealing. And Colby Thomas fouls off the first pitch straight back. Strike one. Nobody gets wound up to hit a baseball like Colby Thomas. Love it. Spring coils. Pitch on its way. Ground ball shot left side. Base hit sizzling into left field. Thomas rounds first base, gives a look. Make sure that Misael Urbina hustles in that throw. Leadoff single for Colby.
Number 11, Clark Elliott.
22nd game with the Lansing Lugnuts for Colby Thomas. And his 32nd base hit, his 50th total base. 50 bases in 22 games. Love it. He's a threat to run. Fourth hit for the Lugnuts against the lefty Christian McLeod. Elliott now, right to follow. Clark Elliott waits, lefty dealing to lefty. Fastball ran up and in and grazed him. He's awarded first base. Home plate umpire Dunbar the immediate call. And the first two Lugnuts are on. Hey now. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. This Lugnuts offense has been explosive. I got a lovely message from my friend Larry Larson, the voice of the Beloit Skycarp, who said, hey, Lugnuts took over our lead for the highest batting average in the second half. Josh Wainwright showed bunt, pulled back, and took the pitch upstairs. And this Lugnuts offense has been marvelous here in the second half. Overall for the year, the Lugnuts batting average is now in second place overall in the league at .247. The pitch to right. Lays down a bunt, pushed right side. Tough backhand stab by Cavaco. Spins about, feeds it to second baseman Perez in covering. Sacrifice successful. Elliott to second and Thomas to third. One away for C.J. Rodriguez.
Number 21, C.J. Rodriguez.
Infield drawn in. First pitch, fastball high, ball one. Tough take. Rodriguez grounded out to short his first time. 3-1 Colonels. The pitch, dab it in. Two balls and no strikes. A run for the Lugnuts in the top of the third inning on a Danny Bautista Jr. RBI single that knocked in Jacob Wilson. Colonels just scored three in the bottom half of the third. Now in the fourth, the deal. Strike called on the outside corner. Rodriguez staying nice and patient. Christian McLeod readies. Kicks. Offers. Ground ball left side. Grabbed by third baseman Ortega. Holds the runners. Throws to first in time. Nearly dangerous for Colby Thomas, who was off the base, but he hustled back in, and Ortega did not elect to go at him. Chuck the sure out at first. So now TJ Schofield Sam. It was a good try by the youthful PA announcer. Lefty deals to lefty. Up high, ball one. That is the key whenever you bunt those runners over, as Josh Wainwright did. It's that very next batter. One out and a runner at third base. That's where the pressure is. You say sack fly can bring him in. The pitch. Schofield Sam whacks the fastball away to the left. So now instead the pressure on Schofield Sam to deliver with two outs. Can he get it done? It was two out offense in the bottom of the third inning. On the two-run single by Noah Cardenas. 3-1 Cedar Rapids. A 1-1 pitch from McLeod. Up and inside. When McLeod hit Clark Elliott, that was just his third hit batter of the year. Now McLeod has been susceptible to giving up the home run. Five of them this year. Schofield Sam homered yesterday out to left field. A 2-1. Up and inside again. Three balls and one strike. Here's the set. And now the pitch. And that's in there for a called strike. The count is full on Schofield Sam. First base open. Top of the order and Junior Perez waiting on deck. By the way, I did go back to the All-Star break and just to see the Lugnuts batting average, how things rank. Oh, McLeod hits Schofield Sam with a 3-2. And the bases are loaded this way. Second hit batter of the frame for Christian McLeod. Base is loaded for Junior Perez. And with that, here comes pitching coach Jonah Lovin, the former Nebraska Cornhusker. McLeod is wavering. Christian McLeod drafted out of Mississippi State. On their national championship team, he was second in strikeouts. He was second in innings. He signed for $327,000 2 years ago as the fifth rounder. Now, he missed last year. He did miss all of last year recovering from Tommy John surgery. And so here he is back this year. Go back 3 years ago, he was the co-national freshman of the year. Because in 21 innings, he allowed only two earned runs and he struck out 35 while giving up only 9 base hits. You could feel that he was on his way to stardom. But then the Tommy John, so trying to recapture the form that was envisioned for him on a very strong Cedar Rapids team.
Number 4, Junior Perez.
6'4", 227 pounds, Christian McLeod. Takes on the Lugnut 6'1", 210 pound slugger, Junior Perez. 3-1 Cedar Rapids, top of the fourth inning. But here in this fourth, a single, a hit batter, a sacrifice bunt, a ground out, a second hit batter, a pitch, tapper foul at home plate, rolling backward. On deck hitter Jacob Wilson walks over, picks it up, gestures over to the other dugout, and underhands it over to John John, the longtime bat boy. No balls, one strike on Junior. The pitch, off speed low, one ball, one strike. A fly out to center field for Perez in the first inning. And a strikeout swinging in the third inning. At third base, Thomas. At second, Elliott. At first, Schofield, Sam. Here's the pitch. A ground ball up the middle. Shortstop Ross can't get it. It's a base hit in the left center. First, Thomas scores. Then Elliott scores. Schofield, Sam stops at second. The throw in over the shortstop Ross, backed up by second baseman Perez. Junior Perez dealing the two-run single to tie this game up 3-3.
Jacob Wilson.
And that extends the frame for Jacob Wilson. Already 2-for-2 today with a single and a double. Lugnuts 3, Colonels 3. Third at bats. First pitch, strike called, inside corner at the knees, on the off speed. Seesaw. Marjorie Daw. McLeod deals. Ground ball up the middle, Ross the shortstop, gets to this one, underhands the second baseman Perez. Perez is forced, side retired. First time today that they've gotten Wilson. But the Lansing Lugnuts tie the score with two runs on the base hit by Junior. Two hits, two hit batters, and two left. 3.5 complete. Tie game 3-3 from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Well, Jose DiCotea returns to the mound, and the Cedar Rapids Colonels lead has dissipated. 3-3, Lugnuts and Colonels. After three runs were plated against DiCotea in the bottom of the third inning, his offense had his back. Now the Lugnuts right-hander from Arizona deals to Keone Cavaco. Righty to righty. Line drive over the leaping second baseman right. It's a base hit in the right field. Center fielder Perez actually came over, picks it up in front of Thomas, and gets it in. It's a leadoff first pitch single. Might have broken Cavaco's bat. Mikey Perez is up next, then the top of the order, and Ben Ross. It is the fourth single against DiCotea.
Number 26, Mikey Perez.
Mikey Perez steps in. Knees bent, even stance. Actually, a little bit of a closed stance. Right-hander to right-hander. Line drive left field for Clark Elliott. Reaches up, makes the catch, and back to first, Keone Cavaco. One away. Top of the order, Tom.
Number 15, Ben Ross.
Hello, Ben Ross. The MEC Player of the Year out of Notre Dame College. The first ever player from Notre Dame College to be drafted. Hails from Springfield, Ohio. Righty to righty. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Ross has flied to center and grounded out to third base. At Notre Dame College, he set the single season program record in hits, runs batted in, home runs, runs scored, total bases. The pitch is outside. One ball and one strike. Let's see, what did I miss? Sack flies, intentional walks, tied the single season program record in doubles. It was a first team All-American. He signed for $200,000 out of the fifth round last year. The pitch to him. Swing and a miss. And the count is one ball and two strikes. Notre Dame College of Ohio is located in South Euclid. The Notre Dame College Falcons. Now the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, you got to go back to 1892. That's a one ball, two strike offering. And it's on its way from DiCochea. Lifted to left. Another chance. Elliott coming forward to take it in. Two outs and two lineouts to left. Once again, Keone Cavaco has to retread. Back up into first base.
Emmanuel Rodriguez.
So bring up Emmanuel Rodriguez, the number two prospect in the Minnesota Twin system out of Santiago, Dominican Republic. 3-3 game, last of the fourth inning. Two outs, runner at first. The pitch, outside from DiCochea. Isn't it funny? Rodriguez's signing bonus is not listed in the game notes for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, but it's easy to find it. He swings and misses here from DiCochea. Last time up, he flied out to the wall in right field after popping out to shortstop his first time. He was signed for $2.5 million. An enormous prospect out of the Dominican. Only 20 years old from the left side. DiCochea deals. Hits the outside corner. Strike two called. By the way, I have pulled up Ben Ross's 2022 season for the Notre Dame College Falcons. And my goodness, hit 392. He was exceptional. 15 steals. Fly ball center field for Junior Perez coming forward. He catches it. Rodriguez and the Colonels are out.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a nice round of applause.
Much, much better for Jose DiCochea there. Three outs in the air after the leadoff single. Did not challenge the Lugnuts outfielders, Elliott or Perez, in the slightest. And we are bound for the fifth inning in a 3-3 game. Lugnuts and the Colonels.
Our excellence is shining, yet so many of us are dying. Colon cancer is silently killing our people, our friends, and family. So screen, we must. We do this for all of us. The health revolution must begin. From diagnosis to death rates, colon cancer can no longer win. Ravaging Black communities, colon screenings are a must. They're recommended for those 45 and up to pinpoint and treat the signs. If detected early, colon cancer is treatable, 91% beatable. It's on us to stand up to cancer once and for all.
What's up? This is Will I Am, and I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer and Providence Health System to let you know that colon cancer affects the Black community at a higher rate. But there's hope. Getting screened for colon cancer can save your life. To learn about your screening options, including easy-to-use at-home tests, ask your doctor or go to providence.org/colon cancer to determine which screening option is right for you.
Here come the 3-4-5 hitters for the Lugnuts. It's Batista Jr., Malone, and Thomas against lefty Christian McLeod. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Lansing Lugnuts looking for their first win in this series. I really do need to yield to the PA announcer here a little bit more often. PA announcer is Andy Pantini, back again today. Lefty McLeod throws to Danny Batista Jr. Down and away, ball one. I first met Andy Pantini when I came here to Cedar Rapids in 2009. Here's the wind, the pitch, fouled back over the netting. Your Lansing Lugnuts trivia question of the game is, back that year, the Lugnuts and the Colonels played a game in an hour and 47 minutes, a nine-inning game. Will Smith started for Cedar Rapids. Which future major leaguer was the starter for the Lugnuts? Pitch is on its way. Lifted high and foul off the right side. One ball, two strikes for Danny Batista Jr. JGOLDSTRASS at LansingLugnuts.com. JGOLDSTRASS at LansingLugnuts.com, the email address. Who is the future major leaguer who started for the Lugnuts in 2009? And that game that went an hour 47. Ground ball past the mound, picked up by second baseman Perez. Throws to first, nips Danny at number one. Answer coming later on in this game.
First baseman Brandon Malone.
Brandon Malone steps in. Now the first offering is high, ball one. A one out, nobody on. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed batter. 3-3. The windup, the pitch. Malone takes down and away. And it's two balls and no strikes in the Lugnuts' first baseman. Just going through the stats for the Lugnuts on the road, and in this series in particular, it jumps out how good this offense has been. Day after day, piling up the base hits. 36 hits so far through four games. Malone bounces this pitch foul off the dugout railing. And then it Karim Pest Jr. Perez, who came out of the dugout to try to field the bounce. But nope, right past him to the Lugnut third base coach and manager, Craig Conklin. It's 2-1. McLeod throws. Low and in. Three balls and a strike. On this road trip in general, just go back, the final four games at Quad Cities. The Lugnuts in those games collected 45 base hits. The deal? Last to left center field. That baseball is not caught by Manuel Rodriguez. It's down. Malone is safely aboard at first base. The throw comes in caroming off the second baseman, Perez. Rodriguez sprawling to his right. He couldn't get there. And Brennan Malone collects another base hit. That from Malone is his sixth hit in 12 at-bats against Cedar Rapids Colonels pitching. Oh, by the way, he's also drawn three walks. Nine times on in 15 plate appearances. A one-out single in the top of the fifth inning. Now McLeod deals. Now the first offering to Colby Thomas fouled off. Strike one. Thomas has done his part. He's one for two with a single and a run scored. So he now has six hits against Cedar Rapids pitching. He's 6-for-14. 3-3 game. The pitch fouled off into the netting. Tried to wait on the breaking ball. Strike two. Now Colby has 17 hits on this road trip. He was 11-for-26 at Quad Cities. Danny Batista Jr., if you're wondering, 15 hits on the road trip. McLeod sets. Two-strike pitch, up and inside, ball one. Over the course of this series, every now and then, I've heard some Colonels fans get loud, try to heckle the Lugnuts, and then this offense quiets them quick. The pitch, low, two balls, two strikes. Lugnuts three, Colonels three. One for the Lugnuts in the third, three for the Colonels in the bottom half, two for the Nuts in the fourth, batting in the fifth. The deal, swing and a miss, Thomas is gone. McLeod has struck out three, twice he's gotten Colby Thomas. So Clark Elliott steps in. Lined out to center field in the second inning. Hit by a pitch. Scored a run. And the two-run lug nuts fourth. He and Kobe Thomas singled in by Junior Perez. Lefty throwing to lefty. Tie game. Down and away off the glove of Cassetti. Malone streaks for second. A throw down. Late. Ross dropped down that tag with Malone already popping up from his slide. A wild pitch from McLeod. Just going back over the course of this series, this proud Cedar Rapids pitching staff. C.J. Culpepper, 4 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 runs. Then Zebby Matthews, 6 hits, 3 runs. Let's see, Kyle Jones yesterday, 9 hits, 5 runs, 3 home runs. McLeod misses down the way, but on the check swing, the home plate umpire Dunbar says that Elliott went around too far. All of a strike on Clark Elliott. So far for Christian McLeod, 6 hits, 3 runs served up. He has hit 2 batters with pitches. He sits, throws. Slider across the outside corner. Strike 2 called. Elliott lined out hard to center field in the second inning. And then hit by a pitch and scored a run in the fourth. Now here in the fifth with 2 outs and his teammate Malone in scoring position. It's a 1-2 and it's up and in, turning him away. The Nuts so far 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. And Christian McLeod is at 88 pitches. I think his game is going to come to an end very soon. There's action in the pen. Here's his 2-2. Head in the air and to the back of second base. Shortstop Ross is under it. Back to his right to make the catch above his cap. And Elliott and the Lugnuts are turned away scorelessly in the top of the fifth inning. The base hit by Malone, left at second. Halfway to the house, going to the bottom of the fifth inning. It's the Lugnuts and the Colonels deadlocked 3-3.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Jose DiCoche is into the bottom of the fifth inning, and this matters. The Lugnuts have had action up behind him. And in the bottom of the third inning, it looked like maybe the right-hander wouldn't escape the frame. But it got out of it. He limited Cedar Rapids to 3 runs. Then he blanked them in the bottom of the fourth inning after a leadoff single. And now into the bottom of the fifth in a 3-3 game. Jose DiCoche will take on 3-4-5, Rosario, Ortega, Cassetti. Righty, righty. Jose DiCoche lets it fly to Kalai Rosario. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Give him the off speed. Carlos Amaya told me that that DiCoche changeup is deadly. Rosario batting with his knees deeply bent. The 0-1. Breaking ball low. So DiCoche back when he was with Stockton to start up the year. Pitched exactly 5 innings, 5 times. With the Lugnuts, the longest he's gone is 4 1/3. Lets it fly. Fastball inside at 92. At 2 balls and a strike. Tossed 4 1/3 innings, his Lugnuts debut June 15th against Peoria, allowing 2 runs. Then 2 starts later, 4 1/3 against Great Lakes, The pitch is high. Now the count has gone to 3-1 on Rosario. In between 4 innings at Wisconsin, then 4 innings against Lake County July the 7th, 3 1/3 against Great Lakes July 18th, 3 innings against Great Lakes July 23rd, July 29th, 3 1/3 at Quad Cities. He offers. Fastball is high. He has walked Rosario. And that opens up the bottom of the fifth inning. And with that, the Lugnuts bullpen will be in motion once again. So, for Jose Di Cochea, the walk total is now 5 today. He has not struck out a batter. Jarrell Ortega is 1-for-2 with a single and a run scored. Di Cochea comes set. Kicks, offers, hit in the air and foul off the right side. Kobe Thomas is giving it a run. That baseball is back into the bleacher seating. Cleanup hitter in the Cedar Rapids order. Ortega made his presence felt with a two-run double and a two-run homer in the first game of this series. The set and the pitch slung outside. There are some games at the Major League level that I'm curious about tonight that I'm watching closely. And I want to bring you out to Fenway Park. The Toronto Blue Jays are leading the Boston Red Sox 6-2 in the top of the seventh inning. Pitch on its way. Smoke to left center field by Ortega. That baseball's down. It hops off the wall for extra bases. Rosario flies around third. He's coming in to score. Ortega's heading for third base, and the throw in there is late. It's a tie-breaking RBI triple. 4-3, Cedar Rapids on top. On Jarrell Ortega's first triple of the year. The gaps here in Cedar Rapids are spacious, and he just went shopping.
The catcher, Andrew Cassetti.
Bring up Andrew Cassetti now, the catcher, who walked each of his first two times. Starting the order today for the Toronto Blue Jays, Davis Schneider. Do you know that name? Davis Schneider was a Lansing Lugnut for one game and one game only. It was September the 5th, 2017. Infield drawn in. Cassetti, it's a fly ball to left field. This is fairly well hit. That ball is off the wall as well. Elliott plays the carom. Ortega scores. The relay won't be made into second base by Wilson. He hangs on. Cassetti sliding in with an RBI double. 5-3 Cedar Rapids. And Noah Cardenas is coming up next. In the Lugnuts bullpen, it's Kumar Nambiar is warming up. And Craig Conklin is coming out to take the ball away from Jose Di Cochea. 4 innings plus 3 batters into this bottom of the fifth inning. Catcher C.J. Rodriguez, a series of encouraging slaps for Jose. Tico, highly well-liked by his teammates. He is out. Cedar Rapids leads. 2 runs in, a potential third run 90 feet away. Kumar Nambiar enters. Well, I'll introduce you to Kumar. Back to Davis Schneider. So Davis Schneider had been drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays out of high school in New Jersey. And in 2017, he finished up the year in the Gulf Coast League. Well, you know, at that time, the Crosstown Showdown was being held at the end of the Lugnut season. And so Schneider was one of a number of players who were sent up from the Gulf Coast League. He was sent in along with the future major leaguer Otto Lopez. And Schneider started the game at third base for the Lugnuts. He batted fifth in the order. He went 1-for-3 with a single and a run scored. I believe he took part in the pregame home run derby against Michigan State. I bring that up because 6 years later, Davis Schneider is making his major league debut today for the Toronto Blue Jays. And how is he doing? Let me tell you. In his first major league plate appearance, Davis Schneider homered in the top of the second inning for the Toronto Blue Jays. Welcome to the show, Davis Schneider. Then he lined out to center field his second at bat, struck out swinging his third at bat. He just singled. He's 2-for-4. And the Blue Jays are leading the Red Sox 6-2. So congratulations, Davis Schneider. I don't think that we should include Davis in terms of the former Lugnuts who made the major leagues. We certainly could. That's how we count Nate Pearson, who appeared for the Lugnuts in only one game, the Crosstown Showdown, and that was all. Schneider joins that list. Well, Noah Cardenas the batter. Lefty Nambiar deals in ball one. Kumar Nambiar, the southpaw from Yale, making appearance number 31 this year, 30th out of the pen with a 3.77 ERA. Black Sox high. Kicks, offers. Cardenas takes. Inside, 2-0. Andrew Cassetti's at second base. This bottom of the fifth inning opened with the game tied 3-3. But Rosario walked, Ortega tripled him in, Cassetti doubled him in. There's a fly ball out to left field. Elliott right there for the catch. And back to second, Cassetti. Nambiar retires Cardenas from the lineup. Misael Urbina now. Urbina is 1-for-2 with a single on a fly out to right field. Well, that game between the Blue Jays and the Red Sox is only one of the games I wanted to talk about at the major league level. Nambiar throws. Up and away, ball one. Yesterday, Tyler Soderstrom, the 2022 Lugnut, and Kumar Nambiar's catcher, had his first career major league home run. And it was a no-doubter at Dodger Stadium. A ball one offering from Kumar. Inside corner, strike called. Misael Urbina started to go for a walk, realized there's a pitch clock in effect, and he stayed right there. A's played earlier today against the Dodgers. Well, hang on. Let me make sure. No, I'm still looking at yesterday's box scores. Here's a ground ball down to first base. Malone takes it himself unassisted. To third base goes Cassetti. Two outs. The A's are idle today. No game for Oakland. Meanwhile, the Las Vegas Aviators are in action. The former Lugnut Jorge Ruiz on the mound. They're trailing early 3-0. Lawrence Butler has been tremendous for AAA Las Vegas, as has Darryl Arnaiz. Keone Kubako swings and misses the off-speed from Nambiar. He was way out in front. Number 8 batter in the order and the former first rounder. 1-for-2 with a single. Double A Midland yesterday saw a 4-hit game from Max Muncy. They're currently winning 4-0 against Frisco. Check swing, went too far on the pitch down. Strike 2. Joe Boyle is making his Oakland Athletics organizational debut. 3 scoreless innings, 4 strikeouts. Jack Winkler has scored 2 runs, a single, a walk. A couple of runners knocked in by Casey Yamauchi and Saheed Valenzuela. There's an 0-2. Up and away. Yamauchi was just signed as an undrafted free agent out of the University of Hawaii, ELO. And I would not be surprised if we saw him with the Lugnuts next year. But they needed depth in Midland, so they sent him into AA, and he's doing fine. There's the pitch down and away. This is his first start as a member of the Rockhounds. Already the RBI double and a run scored. And Brian Buelbas will walk in a run scored for the early 4-0 Midland Rockhounds lead. You would know the names of the players in their order. Caden Trenkel, Drew Swift, Lasser Armenteros. Runner at third, 2 outs. 2-ball, 2-strike pitch. Low, 3-2. Nambiar against Kubako. 2 runs are in. It's a 5-3 Cedar Rapids lead in the last of the fifth inning. Nambiar came on with Andrew Cassetti in scoring position. A line out, a ground out, a payoff. High and away and all the way to the backstop. In from third base, Cassetti rushes across to score. The throw by catcher Rodriguez goes past Nambiar. Cavalco's going to try for second. Throw on the right. Tag applied in time. He's out. And now the manager, Brian Dickelman, is going to argue that call. So we have the old ball four, wild pitch, run scores. Guy who walks thrown out at second base. It's 6-3 Cedar Rapids as we're going to the top of the sixth inning. Colonels leading. Lansing Lugnuts coming up. Wright, Rodriguez, and Schofield Sam when we return.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Well, let's go now to the top of the sixth inning. Jesse Goldberg-Strasser here. So, just recapping the play that ended the bottom of the fifth. How often have you ever heard that the final pitch of an inning was ball four, and the final out of an inning was made at second base? And that's what we just saw. On the batter, took ball four. Josh Wainwright, leading off the top of the sixth inning. New man on the mound for Cedar Rapids going into their bullpen. And the first offering called a strike. It's Matthew Swain now in. The 6'7 right-hander hailing from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Swain nods yes to a signal from catcher Cassetti. 6'3 Colonels. Wright takes a ball low and all the way to the backstop. The pitch, a bouncer dragged foul left side. Josh Wainwright is 0-for-1 today. Fly out, sacrifice. The deal, hit high into the sky and down the left side. Third baseman Ortega over, shortstop Ross there too. And it's Ross who makes the catch into the Lugnuts pen. Just away from the hard-charging left fielder, Urbina. Three Colonels amidst all the Lugnuts relievers.
The catcher, C.J. Rodriguez.
So one away, and bring up C.J. Rodriguez. Here's Swain's pitch, up very high. Three runs, six hits, one error for the Nuts. Six runs, six hits, one error for Cedar Rapids. Fastball high again. Two balls and no strikes. Rodriguez is 0-for-2. Grounded to short, grounded to third. 6-3 Colonels. Rodriguez takes. Strike called at the letters. The Lugnuts have to find their way back from another deficit. They've already rallied from being down 3-1 in this game. Swain winds and throws. The breaking ball is up and away. Three balls and a strike on CJ. A little bit more about Matthew Swain. Swain is 2-0 with a 4.91 ERA through 22 appearances. He has worked 26 innings. He offers swing and a miss on the fastball up. Count is full on CJ. League batting 228 against Swain. Three home runs served up, 13 walks, 28 Ks. Step back, the leg kick, the deal. Down and in, he's walked Rodriguez. And a one-out base runner for the Lugnuts. Bring up T.J. Schofield Sam.
Third baseman, T.J. Schofield Sam.
Swain comes set high. Kicks and deals. Down and in. Nearly hit TJ. Ball one.
50-50 raffle prize has been playing. Thanks for playing and supporting the Colonels Foundation.
Christian McLeod done after five innings here today for Cedar Rapids. Again, the Colonels pen. Nuts down by three. Bottom of the order. Schofield Sam takes the ball high. And Matthew Swain is all over the place right now. Catcher Andrew Cassetti is just trying to settle down his heart rate. Out to the mound goes the big man. Cassetti, the catcher, is 5'10", 215 pounds. And meanwhile, Matthew Swain is 6'7", 225. The pitcher is long and lean. The catcher is not as tall and burlier. While they discuss, let me tell you that yesterday, I had the chance to walk around the Veterans Memorial here at Cedar Rapids. It is located at the upper level. It is called the All Veterans Memorial. It was dedicated May 25th, 1992, and then rededicated November 9th, 2002. There's a tank. There's an anchor. Roddy throws. The left-handed batter swings and misses. Schofield Sam expanded on the pitch high. And there's the engraved stone, the engraved dark stone for each of the different wars that they have lost Iowans. Here's the 2-1. Strike two called at the letters. Right at the front it says, in honor of the men and women from Iowa who served in America's wars and conflicts, and then it lists the battles, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Indian Wars, the Spanish-American War, the Philippines War, the Mexican Punitive Expedition, Dominican Republic, and on. A ground ball raked on the right side. Second baseman Perez picks it up. Under hands of the pitcher, Swain covering. Safe the call. Schofield Sam beat it out. Infield single, T.J. Schofield Sam. And C.J. Rodriguez up to second. That turns the lineup over.
Center fielder, Junior Perez.
Junior Perez now, who his last time up, knocked in a pair of runs that at the time tied up the game at 3-3. Now the Nuts are trailing 6-3. The deal. Strike called on the outside corner. When I walked around the Veterans Memorial, the All Veterans Memorial, I happened to be there with the Lugnuts veteran, Craig Conklin, the Lugnuts manager. Member of the 101st Airborne. The deal. Down low. Escapes Cassetti. Runners move up 90 feet. Rodriguez to third and Schofield Sam to second on the wild pitch by Swain. Matthew Swain's fourth wild pitch of the year. Second and third. Only one out. And one of the best Lugnuts hitters at home plate. Righty, righty. Swain offers. Bouncer pulled foul left side. Just going around with the different wars that are spotlighted I should also mention there's the engraved stone for those in the war against terror, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and in honor of the men and women who served in peacetime. This pitch is down the way, and that gets away from catcher Cassetti. Rodriguez scores. Schofield, Sam rounds third base and backpedals to the bag. A second straight wild pitch by Swain. The Lugnuts trail 6-4. Runner at third, one down. The infield brought in by Cedar Rapids. And if you're Junior Perez, you stroke that ball through the infield, hit it deep enough in the outfield, you'll bring in a fifth Lugnuts run. The 6-7 righty Swain sets high. Lifts the leg. Deals. Check swing. It was down and away. On appeal, didn't go. Colonels wanted it. Nope. Three balls, two strikes on Junior. Jacob Wilson is waiting on deck. A first rounder. First and second base are open. Here comes the payoff. Bouncing ball rolled foul up the third base side. Let me finish with this about the All Veterans Memorial here in Cedar Rapids, which is worth it. The engraved bricks with the family members putting American flags or flowers to honor their fallen family members. There's a quote from General Douglas MacArthur, a soldier above all other people prays for peace, for he must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. This is Veterans Memorial Stadium. Perez swings and spoils this Swain delivery off the right side, back and out of play. It is an affecting sight to see all those bricks and the fresh flowers that get laid in every time that the Lugnuts come. The family members visiting. Swain's 3-2. Ground ball up the middle, sizzling into left center. Base hit. Schofield Sam scores. Perez holds at first base as Rodriguez fires it in from center. RBI single Junior Perez. His second hit, his third RBI. And the Lugnuts are within one run. Cedar Rapids 6, Lansing 5. A visit to the mound and Matthew Swain by the pitching coach for Cedar Rapids, Jonah Lovin. All the while, the Colonels quickly get a reliever warming. I give the Lugnuts offense this. They have been relentless. But they lost the opener 12-9. They lost game 2, 5-3, a game that they led at 1.3-0. They lost yesterday 7-5, a game that they trailed 5-1. They came back, they tied the game at 5-5. Only to see Cedar Rapids score two runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to win it. This is a highly confident Cedar Rapids team, a resilient squad. And so you know, regardless of what happens in this inning and for the rest of the game, that you have to contend with the Colonel's offense. But the Lugnuts offense is not waving a white flag. Perez is on at first, a threat to run against Swain. There's only one man out, the batter Jacob Wilson. Now a throw over to check on Junior. That's a wise move for Matthew Swain. Right-hander against right-hander. Jacob Wilson, 2-for-3. Single and a double. Pitch on its way. Perez runs. It's taken for a strike. Throw down to second base is very late. Junior has the steal. He came jetting in. And the second baseman, Perez, caught that throw down and turned back. And there was Junior already at the bag. His helmet flying behind him. The tools are on display for Junior Perez. Stolen base number 30 this year for the Lugnuts' leading base stealer. And now an 0-1 pitch for Wilson. We'll wait, a pivot about. Swain looks him back into second. Righty, righty. Here it is. Wilson takes. Outside corner, strike two called. The GCU Antelope out of Thousand Oaks High School. The Lancers. Teammates with Max Muncy. It's an 0-2 now to the shortstop. Here it comes. Perez runs. A broken bat ground ball up the middle. Second baseman Perez fields. Fires to first. Gets him. Perez is just spectating at third base. Helmet taken off. Wilson retired for a second time. His bat is busted.
Designated hitter Danny Bautista Jr.
It is difficult to explain that Wilson is... He's longer than you think. He's 6'3". He's long and lanky. As he steps back into the dugout, here's Danny Bautista Jr. Roddy throws to Roddy. Swinging a foul tip at home. Tying run 90 feet away. Cedar Rapids 6, Lansing 5. Swain gets the sign from Cassetti. Second baseman up the middle. The pitch popped him up on the right side in the foul grab. Cavaca looks for room next to his dugout. Out of room. Off the netting. Bautista stays up there. Counted nothing in two. Danny is 1-for-3 in the third inning. Jacob Wilson in scoring position with two outs. And it was Danny singling him in with a flare in the right center. Bautista Jr. has already extended his hitting streak to 11 games and is on base streak to 16 games. Swain's 0-2. Down and away. Can't get him to chase. First game of this series, Danny Bautista Jr. struck out twice. That just doesn't happen to him. Third time all year that he had struck out twice. A 1-ball, 2-strike pitch on its way. Cue shot, right side. Perez gets over, gloves, throws to first, and the stretch of the bag by Cavaco. Side retired. That was all about the effort on the right side of the diamond, denying Bautista Jr. and stopping Perez from scoring from third with the tying run. Lugnuts play two on two hits and a walk. Runner left at third. 6-5 Colonels going to the bottom of the sixth inning from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
It's a one-run game going to the bottom half of the sixth inning. Colonel 6, Lugnuts 5, Kumar Nandiar on the bump. It will be Nandiar against these batters, 9-1-2 in the order. That means Perez, Ross, Rodriguez against the southpaw from Larchmont, New York. Mikey Perez bats from the right side. Here's the pitch from Nambiar. Misses high, ball one. Nambiar came in out of the bullpen. He inherited a runner, Andrew Cassetti, in the bottom of the fifth inning. And a wild pitch in Cassetti on ball four on the final batter. His pitch is fouled up and away to the right side. He walked Keone Cavaco. Cavaco on the wild pitch. Well, Cassetti scored. Catch Rodriguez and trying to recover and then fling it back to Nambiar, put it past him. So Cavaco tore for second base, and he was tagged out there. They threw it over to Josh Wainwright, and they got the final out on ball four, just the way that Nambiar drew it up. Kumar's 1-1. Perez hits a high pop-up out in a shallow right. Second baseman Wright goes out. Right fielder Thomas comes in. It's Wright with the catch. Thomas was late in identifying it, so Josh Wainwright commandeered the play. One down.
The shortstop, Ben Ross.
Now Nambiar against the leadoff hitting Ben Ross, 0 for 3. First pitch is dribbled right of the mound. Nambiar goes to cover first. First baseman Malone tosses it to him, and Nambiar just did get the right foot down on the bag as he went down and face planted to finish off the play. He was hustling over, making sure that he collected the throw from Malone, and then he went stabbing back with a foot, and he did just get the base before Ross arrived with all of his great speed. Bases umpire Chad Patterson emphatically signaling out number two. Now Nambiar looks for a perfect frame. Takes on a Manuel Rodriguez, who is 0 for 3 in the game. Pop out, fly out to right, fly out to center. The pitch, the curveball. Strike called outside corner. Nambiar's curve is 73 miles per hour. Here's the toss. A bouncing ball right of the mound. Nambiar again goes to cover. He stops. Wright came in for the bare hand. Can't make the play. At first base, Rodriguez overruns it. Did he commit to second? He did not. It was quickly recovered by Jacob Wilson, flipping it over to Malone. But simply, it's an infield single for Manuel Rodriguez. It was do or die for Josh Wainwright. Rodriguez runs so well. So here's Kalai Rosario. On the first pitch, ball one. Rosario flied out to center. He's walked each of his last two times, though, and he scored two runs. 6-5, Cedar Rapids, last of the sixth. Two outs. Runner at first for the Colonels. Nambiar's pitch. Foul tipped it home. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Hope you're doing well on this Friday night. Coming your way from the city of five seasons. It's winter, it's spring, it's summer, it's fall. It's a season for enjoying all the other seasons. So right now we are in summer and the fifth season. And in a couple of months, there'll be an autumn. And the fifth season. Nambiar's pitch. That is lifted high into the sky above shortstop Wilson. Waves his arms. Settles below. He's got it with ease above his shoulder. Side retired. Scarless frame Kumar Nambiar threading the infield single and setting us to the seventh inning. Lugnuts down by a run. Colonels up 6-5.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
It's anybody's game from Cedar Rapids. Colonel 6, Lugnuts 5. We're going to the seventh inning. And there are folks dressed as corn in this Cedar Rapids, Iowa. This should not surprise us. Justice Corn doing the chicken dance on the third baseline dugouts. A couple of fans in their Corn outfits. It reminds me of when we went to Appleton, Wisconsin, and there was an actual cow that was right outside the entrance into the ballpark, and they were encouraging folks to tug the cow's udder. If you wonder, is Cedar Rapids what you think it is? Is Appleton, Wisconsin what you think it is? To some of your questions, I would say, yes, yes it is. Well, 6-5 Colonels lead. Brendan Malone leads off, takes a called strike. From the new lefty on the hill for Cedar Rapids, John Wilson. He replaces Matthew Swain. It was an adventure for Swain to get through the sixth inning. He allowed two runs. Southpaw kicks, throws to Malone. Ground ball shot toward third, handled cleanly by Ortega. Throws across, out number one. Kobe Thomas is up next, then Clark Elliott. Now 5 and 6 batters in the order. I wonder what are the aspects when folks come to Lansing, Michigan, and they say, Lansing, Michigan. It's exactly what you think it is. Kobe Thomas waits. Here's the pitch. That's down low, ball one. I'm the native Marylander, and I can tell you that growing up, if I went to a friend's birthday party, there were usually crabs. Crabs were usually served. A 1-0. Fouled away to the right side. Now as I got older and older and went from crabs to, more often, pizza. Lido, which is square because they never cut corners, or Three Brothers. But Maryland really does love its crabs with the Old Bay seasoning. Thomas is 1-for-3 with a single. The pitch, he takes. Low, good take there, just below the knees. 2 balls and a strike. Count is in his favor. Lugnuts are down by just 1 run. And he's got the great pop to tie the game up with this next swing. Wilson to the plate. Fouled off into the screen. He was trying. Two and two on Colby Thomas. Could this be another multi-hit game for him? There have been so many. Batting average 344. One out, nobody on. Down by a run. The pitch. Low. 3 balls and 2 strikes. John Wilson. 2-2 with a 4.66 ERA this year. As Thomas gets time granted. Wilson so far with the two outs, or I should say with the one out already recorded, now 21 1/3 innings. League's hitting a healthy 305 against the lefty. Sox pulled up high, offers a ground ball, grabbed by leaping Wilson, runs toward first, underhands to Kabako. Two outs. Athletic play by the native of Hackensack, New Jersey. John Wilson, former Old Dominion Monarch. He was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds. Lefty deals to lefty. Throws to Clark Elliott. Ah, that's right in there. Called strike one. Now, he was drafted by the Reds back in 2016. He turned them down. That was out of high school. Went off to college. And then he was signed as an undrafted free agent in August of 2020. Alley takes ball one in. And after he was drafted, and after he was, I should say, signed by the Twins, went from the Florida Complex League to Fort Myers, last year Fort Myers, this year the whole year with Cedar Rapids. Steals. Line drive slicing up the left field line. That ball is down for a base hit. It's collected by Urbina in the corner. Elliott streaking for second. The throw in is late. And it's an oppo double for Clark Elliott. The potential game-tying run is into scoring position with two outs in the seventh. What a pretty inside-out swing to lay that ball up the left field line. And now Josh Wainwright, the man who had 3 hits in yesterday's game. 0-for-2 with a sacrifice today. Lefty deals to righty. Way outside. And there's ball one. What a time for Elliott to collect his first hit of the game. And the Lugnuts now have 9 hits tonight. They're down 6-5 in the seventh. Wilson's pitch. Swing and a foul tip into Cassetti-Smith. Ball and a strike on right. John Wilson gets his sign. Righties. Fires. Reaching out right. Fouls it back into the screen. Way out in front of the breaking ball. He was frustrated with himself for that effort. On deck, C.J. Rodriguez. Second baseman Perez is right up the middle. Pitch low. 2-2. Lugnuts bullpen quiet. Kumar Nambiar will likely remain in for the bottom half of this seventh inning. He has given the Lugnuts two scoreless innings already in relief of Jose Di Cochea. 6-5 Colonels. Elliott at second, two away. The pitch. Wright takes ball three up and inside. For the Colonels, three in the third inning, three more in the fifth. For the Lugnuts, one in the third, two in the fourth, two in the sixth. Batting in the seventh. Payoff pitch, Josh Wainwright. On its way. Swinging a foul tip. Hello to by Cassetti. He's gone on strikes. And he chased ball four up and away. We hit the stretch. Elliott's double. Stranded. The Lugnuts are down 6-5.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Protect her home and family in a disaster. Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Colonels 6, Lugnuts 5, Kumar Nambiar out to the mound for a third inning of work. Nobody warming up in the Lugnuts bullpen. It's Kumar's game. Trying to keep this a one-run deficit. It's Ortega, Cassetti, and Cardenas coming up, 4, 5, 6 in the order. Against the lefty, Nambiar, 5'11", 190 pounds, 25 years of age. Righty, righty, righty against the lefty who eats up righties. First pitch, off speed inside, ball one. When Nambiar was first drafted by the Oakland Athletics, 34th round in 2019. Started things off pitching for A's Green, Arizona League, rookie ball 2019. Line drive, left field, base hit, Jarell Ortega. Now it opens up the bottom of the seventh inning. It's a leadoff single as Clark Elliott relays it in. That's the second base hit allowed by Nambiar. Andrew Cassetti is up next. On the NBR that first year, 47 strikeouts, 36 innings, no home runs allowed in the Arizona League. And he moved up for one appearance, three innings of work with Stockton. And then the pandemic had to wait until 2021 to return. Nambiar throws. A chopper pulled on the left side. Third baseman Schofield Sand grabs. Feed second one. Right over to first. In time. Double play around the horn. 5-4-3. And that equals two outs and nobody on for the Colonels. Bring up Noah Cardenas. Nambiar is one out away from three scoreless out of the bullpen. Lefty deals to righty. 6-5 Colonels. Above the letters, ball one. Nambiar was a starter that year with the Stockton Ports. 2021. 15 appearances, 12 starts, 65 innings, 66 strikeouts with Stockton. Swing and a miss at the curve. One ball, one strike for Cardenas. And Kumar joined the Lugnuts last year. 43 appearances out of the pen. And this year, here's appearance number 31 in total. Delivers. Cardenas takes. Fastball away. Tried to surprise him, but he missed. So here's what I'm looking at with Kumar. He's right now gone 2 2/3 innings. 6-5 Cedar Rapids. The deal. Line drive, right center field. Colby Thomas, great speed. Can he get there? A dive? Thomas reaching out. Did he make the catch? It is ruled that it's down. He short hopped it. A throw to second base. Cardenas trying to stretch it. And safe is the call. It's second. Colby Thomas is waving his arms wide. The Lugnuts were looking for an out in right center. Then they were looking for an out at second base. Craig Conklin is going to argue this. Now, based on the reaction at second base, I think we would have seen more if the Lugnuts thought that Cardenas was out at second. But Colby Thomas is fuming in right. He was sure that he came up with that catch off the line drive with the dive. And the bases umpire, Chad Patterson, is shaking his head no, no to Craig Conklin. Oh, now the umpires are coming together. Are they going to talk things out? What did they see? Did that ball bounce or did Thomas catch it? So Conklin at the very least discerned that second conversation. But the home plate umpire Dunbar says, I did not see anything else. It's a double for Noah Cardenas. On July 19th, Kumar Nambiar fired 3 scoreless one-hit innings against Great Lakes. One out away from 3 scoreless innings here at Cedar Rapids. Those are the 2 best teams in the league. Great Lakes in the east, Cedar Rapids in the west. Can he get Misael Urbina? Keep this a 6-5 deficit. Starts things off with a called strike at the letters. A big change to Kumar's arsenal this year, adding the cut fastball. Cardenas at second, does not run great. Urbina batting right. Southpaw sets. Leg kick on the pitch. Line drive hooking down the left field line. Foul. Once again, it was the off speed. And Urbina was way out in front. No balls and 2 strikes. So what does Kumar Nambiar and catcher C.J. Rodriguez, what do they have in store for batter Urbina now? Cardenas at second, 0-2, buried. Well blocked by Rodriguez. Here's the pitch. That's high. And the count is 2-2. All right, so the off-speed low. The fastball up. Six-five Colonels. Runner at second. 2 outs. Kumar resets. Here's the pitch. It's the curve, and it's high. Oh, if he could drop that into the zone, he would have had him. 3-2 on Urbina. At the bottom part of the order, let's say he walks Urbina, first base is open. You've got Keone Cavaco on deck. A payoff. Had a swing and a ground ball past Nambiar, back of second base. It trickles through. Cardenas is around to score on the base hit. It's 7-5 Cedar Rapids. Somehow, that baseball managed to make its way past Nambiar. It slithered past him, and then both right at second, and Wilson at shortstop were going for it, and I don't know how that baseball got by both of them. Not hit all that far, wriggling its way. Urbina on at first with the RBI single, and the lead for Cedar Rapids is 2 runs. Well, here's Keone Cavaco. On the first pitch, ball one. And with that, the Lugnuts do start to warm up another arm in the pen. It's John Beller, the lefty from USC. Nambiar's fastball misses high. Two balls, no strikes on Kabaka. Got to shut things down right here and right now if you're Nambiar. Runner at first, two outs. Down by two. Nambiar's pitch. Kabaka takes low for ball three. Kabaka out of the eight hole. It's fly to right, single to right, and drawn a walk. Number nine hitter, Mikey Perez, is on deck. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Green light on 3-0. These Cedar Rapids batters have not been great overall for the year. Urbina, who just had the RBI single, came in hitting 174. Cavaco, the current batter, 176. Here's the pitch. And Nambiar walks him with a pitch low. Urbina to second. Cavaco to first. Mound visit, Rick Rodriguez. Could feel that coming. Kumar right now is at, let's see, I believe unofficially, 39 pitches. 20 strikes, 19 balls. He has given the Lugnuts such important outs, though. In relief of Jose Di Cochea. He might be running on fumes right now. He relieved Di Cochea in the bottom of the fifth inning with a runner at second base. Andrew Cassetti was wild pitched in, but Nambiar did not allow any further damage. In the sixth inning, gave up a two-out infield single to Emmanuel Rodriguez, stranded him. Here in the seventh, leadoff single, Jarrell Ortega, erased on a double play ball. But Cardenas, the double to right center that Colby Thomas thought he had caught with a dive. Just that close from Nambiar being out of the seventh inning. Then the seeing eye RBI single by Urbina, a walk to Cavaco. Ikey Perez with two on and two out. 7-5 Colonels in the seventh. Pitch on its way. Fastball misses inside. And it's ball one. Perez is 0 for 2. The deal. Broken bat. Ground ball left side. Diving backhand stop. Wilson throwing from his knees. No chance for an out at first base. However, because he got there in shallow left field, it keeps the runner at third in Urbina. Otherwise, Urbina was going to try to score on Elliott. It was a great effort by Jacob Wilson at short. It's an infield single for Perez, and the bases are loaded. For Ben Ross, the leadoff man, that will do it for Nambiar. 2 2/3 innings today. Currently in Cedar Rapids, 80 degrees. Feels like it's 83. Heat rising. One run in. 7-5 Colonels looking for insurance to add to their lead. Perez at first, Cavaco at second, Urbina at third base. Ben Ross coming up, John Beller coming in. Let me check back in with the scoreboards while I have the opportunity. Let's begin with the Oakland Athletics. Let's go all the way down the ladder. The Arizona Complex League Athletics are in action right now, and the former Lansing Lugnut, Hanson Lopez, the catcher, is rehabbing his way back up the ladder. Good to see Lopez catching every day. If you heard the pregame interview with Daniel Susak, you can go online to LansingLugnuts.com. By the way, you can check out that interview. He has fantasy football advice for you. But I asked Daniel about going on the injured list, and he said, injury with his thumb, got to give it a rest for a week, see how it feels, come right back in action, rest is good. So we'll see when Hanson Lopez is ready to go, if he gets sent back to Lansing, if he gets sent to Stockton, etc. Hanson's a lovely person to be around. Arizona Complex League A's are just barely in action, they're three innings in, and they're currently trailing to the White Sox 1-0. The Dominican Summer League Athletics were victorious earlier today in a walk-off. Brian Andrade, a two-out, two-run, game-winning single in the bottom half of the eighth inning. and the A's beat the Atlanta Braves. Final score was 8-7. So the DSL Athletics, managed by Veronica Alvarez, come away with a comeback win. They're now 19-21, playing good baseball. That was part of a doubleheader, I believe. Stockton Ports will play a little bit later on today. Double A Midland currently leading Frisco 4-0. Joe Boyle spinning a gem in his Athletics organizational debut. Talk about him in a moment. Bases loaded, two outs. Ben Ross, first pitch from John Beller. Strike called inside corner. Joe Boyle has fired six scoreless innings for the Midland Rockhounds. Two walks, three hits, eight strikeouts for the former Dayton Dragon. Think that he'll now be done. He was just acquired by the A's in exchange for Sam Maul from the Reds. The pitch, curveball, strike called. Nothing and two from the lefty. John Beller, appearance number 30. 35 and one-third innings worked. He has struck out 44 batters. Looking to get Kumar Nambiar and the Lugnuts out of a jam, last of the seventh. Lansing is trailing 7-5. One run in. Urbina, Cavaco, Perez filling up the bags. Beller's 0-2. On its way. A ground ball weakly struck down toward third. Schofield, Sam kicks it. One run is scored. Here comes Cavaco for the plate. Throw in, tag applied by Rodriguez. Cavaco is thrown out. He was tagged out at second and the fifth inning. He's tagged out at home to end the seventh. But the fielding error by TJ Schofield, Sam, allows Misael Urbina to score. And it's 8-5 Cedar Rapids going to the eighth inning from Veterans Memorial Stadium.
Protects his home and family from disaster. Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Brian, came here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels add two to their lead in the bottom of the seventh inning. And so they bring an 8-5 lead into the eighth. CJ Rodriguez, TJ Schofield, Sam Jr., Perez coming up against left-hander John Wilson. Out to the mound for a second inning of work for the Colonels, the Old Dominion Monarch. Deals to CJ Rodriguez, the right-handed hitting catcher. First offering swatted up and foul, out of play to the right side, into the darkened night. We are about to have the clock strike 9 in the Central Time Zone. How will Rodriguez strike at home plate? He is 0-2 with a walk and a run scored. And this pitch goes all the way to the backstop. One ball, one strike. So I can officially tell you we're 2 hours and 24 minutes into this game. Lefty dealing to righty. Wilson deals. That's Scott in the field of play. Out into shallow right, rushes Kalai Rosario. And the ball falls for a base hit. And found the Bermuda Triangle in between Rosario, second baseman Perez, and the first baseman Cavaco. Texas leaguer of a single for C.J. Rodriguez.
The third baseman, T.J. Schofield.
The Lugnuts have their 10th hit of the game as the clock strikes 9 right now. First hit today for Rodriguez. So bring up T.J. Schofield, Sam. Lefty deals to lefty. At the letter, strike called. That is the way that this top of the eighth inning begins for the Lugnuts. And the door is open. 8-5, they trail. Strike 2 called outside corner. Schofield, Sam, has committed a couple of errors in this game. The last one just allowed a run to score. The second of the two in the bottom of the seventh inning. Wilson sets. Holds. Offers. The breaking ball swatted foul off the facing of the suites. Down. And the carom. And there are two fans who stood up and they each grabbed the baseball. One let go. It goes to a kiddo anyway. His fist pumping in the air. John Wilson again, the 0-2. Slicer foul. Over toward the Lugnuts bullpen. No balls, two strikes on T.J. Schofield, Sam. C.J. Rodriguez at first base. I gave you the Lugnuts trivia question of the game earlier today. I'll come back. I'll answer it coming up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Schofield, Sam strikes out. So my question for you was, the Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels met up in 2009 here. There was a future major leaguer on the mound for the Lugnuts, and that future major leaguer started against Cedar Rapids' Will Smith, and they worked a game that went an hour and 47 minutes. Ball one outside to Junior Perez. So my question was for you. Actually, let me correct myself. It was an hour 46 minutes at Dale and Thomas Popcorn Field. The former name of this ballpark, Dale and Thomas Popcorn Field. The pitch, Perez swings and misses. Ball and a strike. He bats the breeze. And I said, who was that former major leaguer? And your answer, Leanne Cook emailed in, guessing Henderson Alvarez. And that is correct. Perez takes, strike 2 called. Henderson Alvarez later made the major leagues and threw a no-hitter. Do you know the story of the Alvarez no-hitter? A 1-2. Swing and a miss. Perez strikes out. It was September the 29th, 2013. Henderson Alvarez was pitching for the Marlins against the Detroit Tigers and Justin Verlander. Henderson Alvarez fired 9 hitless innings. Great, it's a no-hitter. But the Marlins couldn't score against Verlander. So the game went to the bottom of the 9th inning. Alvarez was on deck. The Marlins loaded up the bases. Hang on, ball got away from the Cedar Rapids pen. And a wild pitch brought in the game-winning run. Giancarlo Stanton came rushing in from third base. And there was Henderson Alvarez, the first to cheer with him, the first to celebrate with Giancarlo Stanton at home plate, because he's the on-deck hitter. He's the closest. And that walk-off sealed up his no-hitter. Line drive pushed foul right side for Jacob Wilson into the stands. Strike 1. How many Lansing Lugnuts have thrown a no-hitter at the major league level? Well, you know Henderson Alvarez is now on that list. Lefty deals to righty. Up and away. 1-1 one strike on Jacob Wilson. The Lugnuts are batting down 8-5, top of the eighth inning. 2 outs and C.J. Rodriguez at first base. Carlos Zambrano threw a no-hitter in September of 2008. Then you have combined no-hitters. Wilson takes a ball low and in. 2-1. Taylor Cole was part of a combined no-hitter in 2019. So was Aaron Sanchez in August of 2019. Taylor Cole in July of 2019. Ryan Tapera, part of a combined no-hitter in 2021. A 2-1 pitch. Wilson drives it, foul off the right side onto the rooftop. 2-2. Jacob today is 2-for-4 with a single, a double, and a run scored. So Henderson Alvarez, your answer for your Lugnuts trivia question of the game. The kick, the pitch, a ground ball pushed to the right side, base hit right field. Rodriguez stops at second, and from right, Rosario quickly gathers and gets it in. 3-hit game for Jacob Wilson. That's pretty. That right side of the infield wide open. That's all he had to do is push that ball through. Brings up Danny Bautista Jr. First, though, the pitching coach, Jonah Lovin, out to the mound. The Lugnuts are about to bring up Danny as the potential game-tying run. That's the element of danger here for the Cedar Rapids pen. Back to Anderson Alvarez real quick. So pitching a 9-inning game in an hour and 46 minutes. That was a little bit his calling card. He worked really fast as he possibly could. And on May 7th, 2009, he tossed a 9-inning complete game against Peoria in which he struck out only one batter. The game was completed in 2 hours and 1 minute. He was something else to watch as the Lansing Lugnut. Threw a lot of strikes. Rarely walked anybody. Pitches moved all over the place. He was a teenager in Lansing. Made it all the way to the major leagues. Here we go. The pitch to Danny. Down and in. Ball one. Not handled cleanly by Cassetti. But it did not elude him far. Just behind the back of Bautista Jr. One ball and no strikes on Danny Bautista Jr. With C.J. Rodriguez at second and Jacob Wilson at first. The trail runner is the faster of the two. Colonels 8, Lugnuts 5, 2 outs. Lefty deals to righty. Drilled down the right field line, but foul. One ball and one strike. We knew that this was a key road trip coming in. 12 games in the state of Iowa. And the Lugnuts opened it by splitting a 6-game series at Quad Cities. They lost the first 3 games here to Cedar Rapids. Colonels win today and they'd clinch a series win. The pitch. Strike 2 called right in there with the off speed. Lugnuts took a 1-0 lead in the top of the third with Bautista Jr. singling in Jacob Wilson. Colonels took a 3-1 lead. Lugnuts tied it. Colonels went back up. Bautista Jr. bounces it up the middle. Perez to the left of second grabs. Steps on the base. Side retired. 2 singles, 2 left, no runs. Going to the bottom half of the 8th inning. Cedar Rapids 8, Lansing 5.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
The Lugnuts have had their chances to creep closer, but still trail 8-5, going to the bottom of the eighth inning. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler at Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The 2-3-4 batters are coming up for the Colonels of Cedar Rapids. That's Emmanuel Rodriguez, Kalani Rosario, and Jarrell Ortega against the lefty John Beller. Lefty versus lefty to start. Beller to Rodriguez. First offering is sky to right. Thomas backs up. Now he trots forward. He's got the catch. Out on one pitch, Beller is at number one. Second time today that Rodriguez is flying to right. Bring up Kalai Rosario. It was Beller who relieved Kumar Nambiar in the bottom of the seventh inning with the bases loaded and two outs. Took on Ben Ross. And Ross sent a bouncing ball down toward third base. TJ Schofield Sam was ready to glove it, step in his bag, end the inning. But the ball bounced off his glove, bounced away from him as the runner scored. The pitch, up high, ball one to Kalai Rosario. That made it 8-5 Cedar Rapids. Now, Keona Cavaco tried to score on the heels of Misael Urbina, and the Lugnuts did throw him out at home plate. There was the third out for Beller, who deals. Fastball for a called strike at 87. Ball on a strike on Rosario. Final out for Kumar Nambiar, therefore 2 2/3 innings. 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, 2 walks. Pitch on its way. Inside for ball 2. I think Kumar gave it as good as he possibly could for the Lugnuts. Here's the pitch. On the outside corner, strike called. It reminded me about seeing Mack Lardner in Quad Cities, where Mack also was spinning a gem through, I think it was 2 2/3 innings. And then suddenly, you could see the tiredness set in. And this is an effective Cedar Rapids order. You cannot make mistakes. They will cash in. And they're leading 8-5 right now with one out and nobody on in the home eighth. 3 outs away from a fourth straight win. Beller's pitch. Swing and a miss and the breaking ball down and in. He has struck out Rosario. Picked up off the ground by catcher Rodriguez to apply the tag. Beller's first strikeout. Do you realize that that was the first strikeout of the game by a Lugnuts pitcher? Dicochea and Nambiar did not strike out a batter during their time in. Once again, credit to Cedar Rapids offense. Jarrell Ortega now. What a job he's done out of the cleanup slot. Lefty throws to righty. Down and in, ball one. 2 outs, base is clear. Ortega's 3-for-4 with 2 singles, a triple, an RBI, and 2 runs scored. 5 runs for the Lugnuts, 11 hits, 8 runs, 11 hits for Cedar Rapids. Swing and a miss on the pitch down and in. Beller's toss, breaking ball called a strike on the outside corner. Time granted to Ortega. Cedar Rapids is warming up an arm right now for the ninth inning. The Lugnuts will have Malone, Thomas, and Elliott due up. Think about those guys. Those are 3 very highly drafted prospects out of the 2022 Oakland Athletics draft. 6th rounder, 3rd rounder, compensatory pick. Pitch on its way, up high. That's the thing about this Lugnuts squad and the Lugnuts offense is a lot of high draft picks, a lot of guys with a lot of promise. Well, the offense has collected all the hits, 11 hits. The difficulty has been trying to match Cedar Rapids. Beller delivers. Fouled away off the right side. Lansing today is 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position and has stranded 10 runners on the bases. Colonels on the other side, 4-for-10, 8 left. 8-5 Colonels lead. Two outs, nobody on. Beller again, the 2-2. High pop-up, right side. Josh Juan right from second base, onto the outfield grass. Calls off the first baseman Malone. He's got the catch, and that'll do it on a perfect frame for John Beller. Let's go to the ninth inning. The Beller tolls for thee. Lugnuts trailing 8-5.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
In the first game of the series, the Lugnuts had to tangle with the league's leading saves man, Miguel Rodriguez. And they're going to have to do so again right here and right now. Rodriguez is in. 13 for 13 in saves, and nothing unlucky about it for the right-hander for Cedar Rapids. 40 innings worked, 42 strikeouts, 11 walks, and the league batting .216 against him. He'll take on the Lugnuts 4, 5, and 6 batters in Malone, Thomas, and Elliott, protecting an 8-5 Cedar Rapids lead. And the series opening game, protecting a 12-9 lead, he struck out A. Rebielanales. He walked Clark Elliott, but T.J. Rodriguez flied out to right, and T.J. Schofield-Sam lined out to left. And Rodriguez had his 13th save. This ninth inning begins with Brennan Malone. The Lugnuts right-handed hitting first baseman, 1-for-3, single and a walk. Here's the pitch. Fastball slung inside, ball one. Rodriguez's fastball, 94 miles an hour, and he spots it up well. He's a veteran out of this pen. His pitch, swing and a miss on the fastball. That was right over the plate, but it was 96. And it took Malone a little bit by surprise. Rodriguez, 24 years of age, out of Maracay, Venezuela, offers. Slider off the outside corner, could not get him to chase. Not Brennan Malone. No, sir. Got to put it in the zone if you want him to cut. Pitch on its way. Swing and a miss. Fastball tied him up in. 96 once again. Rodriguez was signed as an international free agent 6 years ago. On 2-2, he offers. Broken bat pop-up, back of the mound, bounces to shortstop Ross, throws to first, got him. We watched Noah Miller play a very fine defensive shortstop to open up this series. Ross moved over from third base today to spell him. He has acquitted himself well. Next up, Colby Thomas. That ball looked initially to be in no man's land. Over the pitcher off the broken bat. And then Ross swooped in and made the play. The pitch to Colby Thomas. The check swing, bouncer, foul up the right side. Strike one. Miguel Rodriguez last year, 39 appearances with Cedar Rapids. 39 appearances, 67 Ks, 56 in the third innings. Here's his 33rd appearance. At some point, do you think that they're going to move him up to Double A? He's making a career here in the Midwest League, and I bet the Colonels are grateful for that. He offers. And that's off the outside corner. this is that point of the season where you start to look long and hard about what moves are made by different teams. Who's getting moved up to double A? Who's staying in high A? A 1-1 pitch. Thomas takes time. For example, the Minnesota Twins just promoted two players to double A. They moved Dalton Shuffield up, and they moved Willie Joe Gary up. Neither one of those players are the best players in Cedar Rapids. They are far from it. Twins left the best players here. The pitch, swinging a foul tip at home. So I would tell you, I would be stunned if a Kalei Rosario or an Emmanuel Rodriguez or Jorel Ortega, Ben Ross, if those guys got the call to double A. Even if double A needed someone, I'd have to have a look at how the Wichita Windsurge are doing. Let's see how they're doing in the minor league standings in the Texas League. Now, Wichita's in last place. Wichita's in dead last place in the Texas League North right now. Here's the 2-2. Off the outside corner to Thomas. Count is full. Let's see, second half of the season. They're 13-17. Compare that to Cedar Rapids, though. I would say, as an educated guess, that the Minnesota Twins would like the Colonels to win the league title. Payoff. Thomas pops it up in the infield. Rodriguez points. Catcher Cassetti yields. And it's the first baseman Cavaco who came sprinting in to make the catch between the pitcher Rodriguez and the catcher Cassetti. Cassetti and Rodriguez were looking at the third baseman Ortega. He was nowhere near. Cavaco just bailed everybody out. Two outs now, top of the ninth. And Rodriguez against Clark Elliott. One out away from sealing up a Cedar Rapids 8-5 win over the Lugnuts. Right-handed pitcher, left-handed batter. Pitch on its way. Jack swing, strike one called. Outside corner at 89. Off speed. Elliott is 1-for-3 with a double. Hit by a pitch, he scored a run. He has one of those 11 hits. The delivery. On the outside corner again. Same pitch as the one before it. Strike two called. Rodriguez gets his sign from Cassetti. The native Venezuelan sets at the belt. Deals. Line drive, center field, hanging up. Rodriguez a hop for the catch. This ball game is over. Cedar Rapids 8, Lansing 5. It's a final from Veterans Memorial Stadium. And the Colonels have beaten the Lugnuts in 4 consecutive ball games. Post-game show up next from Cedar Rapids.
There's nothing like a Michigan summer. Whether enjoying one of our many summer festivals, a gathering on the lake, or a trip to wine country, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to help prepare and even host your next summertime celebration. So have fun, but know your limits and the limits of your guests. Have a designated driver available when necessary. Live, work, and play safe this summer.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Vince Cotroneo, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
A final from Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium, where the Colonels defeat the Lansing Lugnuts 8-5. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Welcome back in. Well, for the Lugnuts today, there was once again, there were some good moments. There were some rough moments. It's another defeat. Just to go all the way back to the very start, it began with a single in the top of the third inning by Jacob Wilson, who actually, let's go back to the first inning. A single by Wilson, an error committed by the center fielder, Manuel Rodriguez. He hustled into second. There was walk drawn by Brendan Malone. A lug nut that runners at the corners. Hobie Thomas, though, struck out against Christian McLeod. They couldn't score. But in the third inning, Wilson a double. Sneaking around a tag of Mikey Perez at second. Danny Bautista Jr. singled him in. Lug nuts led 1-0. But Jose Ticochea's command got the best of him in the bottom of the third inning. He allowed 3 runs. Lugnuts responded. 2 runs in the top of the fourth inning. A 2-run single by Junior Perez. Ticochea again unraveled in the bottom of the fifth. Departed 3 batters in. Colonel scored 3 runs. They led 6-3. But in the top of the sixth, Lugnuts scored 2. RBI single, Junior Perez along the way. And it was 6-5. Unfortunately, that was it for the Lugnuts in offense in the game. Cedar Rapids added 2 for insurance in the bottom of the seventh inning. And that would close things out. 5 runs, 11 hits, and 2 errors for the Lugnuts in the losing cause. The Lugnuts stranded 10 runners on the bases and fall to 13-21 for the year, 44-55 overall. Meanwhile, for the Colonels, 8 runs on 11 hits and 1 error, and the Colonels stranded 8. This was all played in 2 hours and 46 minutes. A little bit sweltering. I worked up a good sweat along the way in this broadcast booth without any air conditioning. But outside, there was an all right breeze, and you know, heat index dropped down into the low 80s. It was played in front of a crowd of 2,549. Well, for the Lugnuts in the end, the defeat, Cedar Rapids now 22-12, 62-38 for the year. The winning pitcher is the Colonel's starting pitcher, Christian McLeod. The save goes to Miguel Rodriguez. He's now 14-14, and all 4 games in the series have featured a save. The games in the series have been won by the Colonels by 3 runs, by 2 runs, by 2 runs, and now by 3 runs. And so it matches up with what we've seen with the Lugnuts in terms of saves. 19 out of the last 21 games that the Lugnuts have played have featured a save. It's pretty remarkable. When we look ahead, tomorrow at 6:35 p.m. local, 7:35 p.m. Eastern, the fifth game of this six-game series, the penultimate game of this two-week road trip, we'll see the Lugnuts lefty Brady Basso taking on the Cardinals right-hander Andrew Morris. That's coming up tomorrow. And then on Sunday, the Lugnuts and the Colonels wrap everything up at 2:05 Eastern, 1:05 local. And I hope that you'll join me for those broadcasts just like you did tonight. I thank you so much for your company. And then I'll return back to Lansing, Michigan with the squad. And the Lugnuts will be home against Fort Wayne all next week and Great Lakes the week after that. 12 home games in a 13-day spin starting August the 8th. Go to LansingLugnuts.com. I'll be rejoined by Adam Jaxa. And you know that the two of us will have a great time on these airwaves. We hope that you join us for the home games. We hope to see you at Jackson Field. Go to LansingLugnuts.com and get your tickets. As far as tonight goes, we call it a night. My thanks to my pregame show guest, Lugnuts catcher Daniel Susak. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Once again, your final score, the Colonels 8, the Lugnuts 5. Here's wishing you a terrific rest of your Friday night. From Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium, good night from the city of 5 seasons. This has been Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts!